Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, happy Sunday. This is Seeds of Change, and I'm your host, Danielle St. John. Sorry for that. That's another host's music. I think a while back we had another show do that as well. So, but at least that one doesn't. It's not specific to a certain, you know, to a show. I kind of like it, but the other one was like Educated Redneck or something, and I'm like, sorry to disappoint, but this is not the Educated Redneck. Anyway, so with we actually have a really awesome show planned today. Surprisingly, because I've been, you know, inundated with dogs for the past week or so. So, but with that, Elizabeth is here. Hello.
Happy Sunday. Hello. Happy so your dogs might bark louder than mine this week, huh?
Well, I have them up there all downstairs. I walked them all. There's one rogue dog up here with me, but she's pretty quiet. But I got the whole fam helping out with the rest of the dogs.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
And I'm actually sitting with another dog. Yeah. I'm like where I go to their house and hang out with them for a little bit. But it's like, that's so much. There's so many. So that's 9 dogs I'm watching.
That is a lot. And it's just like, my goodness, where are these people that they can't take their dogs? Unless they're working. Unless they're working, then it's, that's okay. But I don't know. I just came back from a festival. I haven't been to a festival in years.
Oh, fun.
And it was so cool. Downtown Naperville. And there were so many dogs there. I feel kind of bad that I didn't take the boys. But then I'm like, no, I was the good mom because it was so loud. I'm like, oh, how are these dogs not going nuts? But they're all up on everyone's shoulders with their heads. You're like, oh, my God, we're in a war zone of rock music.
No.
But it was just fun. Yeah. Everybody's back to having fun, normal, happy hugs. And I was like, yay. I'm like, can we have Christmas this year, please? This is my family.
Exactly. Can we have Christmas back?
No, seriously. And I didn't even bring it up. We're doing the whole, and then COVID happens. And, I don't want to go. They know how I feel, but I'm not going to knock you. Yes, that was horrible, wasn't it, that you bought into this.
And Mom is with us.
I'm glad we can. Hey, how are you, Carla? Welcome back. We missed you.
I missed you guys, too. So I need to find out about the audio today because I have a window shaker right next to me. And how is the audio quality today?
So far, so good. I just came from a huge concert. So it's a little hard for you to hear. But does she sound good to you, Danielle?
Yeah, she sounds good to me. It's funny, though, you mentioned that because I've been – the only thing that's been keeping us cool is our little window shaker and the pool. So we just keep going and just dragging ourselves out. It's fortunately, it's just right there. I mean, I could literally throw a rock and hit it. But my water in my ear, so I can't hear as good as I usually can.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, good.
Didn't understand what Danielle was talking about. We are having a massive heat wave in California, in Southern California in particular. On the coast here, it's 90 degrees. Inland, it's in the triple digits. So we're having a little bit of a difficult time in Southern California. We're not used to it. Let me rephrase. It happens in September. I don't suppose I remember it happening this early in September, but we get something called a Santa Ana, or one or more of them, every year. It's normally winds that come from the east, from the desert, and we get almost like a blast of hell coming through Southern California. So here we are, and we're having our usual hot summer. This is our summer in September is when we get these heat waves. And unfortunately, on Friday afternoon, my air conditioner died, of course, right before a holiday weekend, a holiday weekend where we're expecting record temperatures. So I'm kind of stuck in my bedroom with this little window shaker. And a little bit on the miserable side, I'm worried about my chickens. They are prone to dying in this kind of heat. So I'm doing what I can to keep them as cool as possible to the best of my ability. So, pop quiz. What do dogs and chickens have in common?
They don't sweat.
That's correct. And there's something else that they have in common that is connected to that that bodily function or lack of bodily function. Do you guys know what it is?
You got
me? No.
Their cooling system is in their feet. So if you're trying to keep a dog cool or you're trying to keep a chicken cool, you wet the ground or you provide a pool. As long as their little feet and undersides are cool, then or wet, you know, if you wet that down, they're better able to regulate their body temperature. So just in case you ever get stuck with a dog in an overheated situation, if you pour some water on the ground, soak the ground, and let the dog stand in it, will do better, or she. And same thing with my chicken.
I still think misters are the way to go.
It is true that that keeping the ambient air around them cooler is a good idea, but if they are wet when they go into roost, it can cause respiratory issues. So if you have misters, you should turn them off about 2 or 3 hours before they go in to roost. But truly, the best way, believe it or not, is to just keep the earth damp for them to dig in or lay in or lounge in so that they cool themselves down. So a little hot tip for those of you that are worried about your animals this weekend.
Hot tip, pun intended, right?
Yeah, pun intended. That's right. Yes.
How did your uncle do it?
I was just going to say that they come from this old school where if they're too dumb to live, they're too dumb and they die. They all know how to where the water's at. They all know how to go into the shade, and they pretty much fend for themselves, and they make it. Like my dogs, and I'm kind of like that too. I thought actually that the panting mechanism from them, you know, their tongues let them sweat. I didn't really realize about the feet. I know they're sensitive to the hot concrete. But they will also tell me, I'm sorry, we're no longer walking. They both will go and lay in the shade of a tree in the grass, and they're like, oh, this is so much better. We're living here. We're not going any further. And they will just go find their little nice little cool spot. And then I'll have to carry them home. They have a natural inclination to take care of themselves. They know it's too damn hot, and they're like, oh wow, this is much better. And they're like, we're going to stay here until whatever this is goes away. And I think, from what I understand, chickens are pretty smart. Pigs are smart. The cows, I've seen cows will go do that mud thing in the fields where there'll always be like a big tank that has some water. And there will inevitably be a puddle of water with mud. And it's hot. Optimum if it is under a tree. That's fantastic. I've seen it without trees. But turkeys are known to be the dumbest animals on Earth. And so you have to actually make them come in. out of the rain. They will turn their heads up and drown, from what I understand. But they don't do much. I was at the farm, and I'm like, don't they need water? They're like, they know where the water is. I'm like, oh, you mean that little wading pool that's yucky full of water and algae? And I'm like, okay, there you go. But they've never died. None of the dogs, the cats, the chickens are all thriving. So that's how he does it. He's old school. That's how
wow.
They never, like, back in the day, they never worried about things the way that we worry about things. But they really didn't. It's kind of like, we're all okay. Unless it's like 130 and everyone's brains are frying, it's a hot summer. But, you know, it's nothing we haven't had before. Now we're getting into the land of, we worry so much and do so much, and it's like they just didn't operate that way 50, 60, 70 years ago. They just didn't. So, and he's from that old school, so that's how he does it. He pretty much doesn't worry about his birds. Make sure they have food and water and their smartness. And he's got shaded, you know, they know where the shade's at. There's shade there. They're now in a hot desert without shade. So it's kind of like that's how he does it.
Well, I do like to clarify, though, like right now, we're dying. My mom and I are dying. We just, this is just miserable.
Mm-hmm.
It's only 88. You know, it's 88.
Right.
It got up to 91 today, 95 yesterday. So we are a little bit of weather wimps, and so are our
mm-hmm.
chickens and animals. And they closed down Dog Beach. There was some kind of like pollutant at the beach, and so they closed the whole thing down until Tuesday with a heat wave.
Really?
So I suppose there's something to that, because we're not used to this weather, and nor are our animals. It tends to hit us a little harder than usual.
Yeah. We're with. Right. We fully admit it, and we pay for it. You know, that's why, like, when people talk about the good things of California, weather is basically the whole list. So when it gets too hot mm-hmm. or too cold or too rainy, we tend to get a little grumpy.
Well,
maybe a couple days is novelty, but if it rains for more than a couple days in a row and we've already baked our cookies, you know, and they've done the novelty stuff, then we're like,
mm-hmm.
Okay, stop, please.
That's funny. That's okay.
Well,
we'll let you do it.
When we get something, get it in spades. So it won't rain for 2 or 3 years in a row, and then we get, you know, 10 inches in 24 hours, right? It's a biblical
yep.
flood. Same thing with our heat. When it's temperate all year long, and then when it gets hotter than a pistol, and we suffer. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
And apparently everybody's air conditioners are breaking because, Mom, when are they coming out? Tuesday or Wednesday?
Wednesday. They're not coming until Wednesday. Wednesday morning between 8 and 11.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. So,
That would be hard.
Yeah. So whoever
the people
is listening,
in the world.
Yeah. Everybody that's listening,
thank
I would love for you to send
by
some choice. Intense prayers.
They do this by choice. So we'll pray for you for sure. I know my cousin's traveling. She's from Florida. She just came from Wisconsin, and she's like, they didn't have their air conditioner on. They're those people that don't put air conditioning on. And I'm like, I don't even know how you can be one of those people. But, they're much more stronger than we are. They will be the ones who make it. Like, if mine went out, I don't know. I just don't know what would happen. I might drop dead.
We go to the beach.
Prison. I don't have a beach.
Very there's that.
Short temper, and I sweat a lot. I'm like, oh my gosh. But I don't know. I tell you, I got lost.
Let's see what's the weather like there, Elizabeth?
Oh, it is, let's see. It was 84 on Friday, and it seemed a little warm, but it was perfect. My boss is out there with you. And he's like, it's 109. And I'm like, I go, well, take a
it's
break.
It's 71.
Well, he's like, he's like, I'm in California and it's 109. And I'm like, well, I feel sorry for you, baby.
You're 71. You got our, we switched weather, Elizabeth.
Yeah, we did. Well, it was hot. It was humid. It was ungodly humid yesterday. And I was like, oh, yeah, couldn't go outside. And I don't know what the temp was, but the humidity was killing me. So I've been inside since Friday. I'm at that age. I'm that old, cantankerous old woman. I wasn't even going to go to this festival because I'm like, you're going to make me drive at the park in a parking garage and walk blocks and blocks to go to an ocean full of people to listen to this band that my cousin's in? I'm like, I don't want to do this. And I ended up, I did it. And my 80-year-old aunt left me in the dust. She's like, walk. I'm like, oh, my God. She's walking to go get us a table before anybody else does. And I'm like, wow. And she did the same thing on the way back. And I'm like, I'm not from, am I from your blood? Maybe not. Because I'm like, how do you walk so fast? But.
Okay, here's something interesting. Like, this isn't something that we see a lot here. We're usually a little bit drier, not like Nevada drier, but not as usually as much humidity. The heat index is not something that we see very often. And right now,
right.
88 feels like 94.
That's what we get, and that's when you die. And because it's like, wow, no wonder it's so hot. We'll get it when it's like, we don't even really pay attention to it. If it gets 92, in the 90s, that's when we look at it because we're like, it's got to be 100 because it feels like 100. And it will be like, you know, 94 with a heat index of 102. And it's like, I told you we're going to die. So that's like, I'll become one of those old women with the umbrella because the umbrella keeps you cool. It's like, see, this is smart. And all the little women around here that are from Mexico, they do that. I'm like, you are really smart, and I'm going to start doing this. And it's 10 degrees cooler under an umbrella. But when it gets to that temperature, it doesn't even matter what you look like. Just stay cool. That's the name of the game. But, yeah, that heat index is a killer. Sometimes it's better to not even know how hot it is. If it's hot, follow your inklings. Go someplace to try to cool down. And
we've got misters on our front porch. We've got, a little AC upstairs in our bedroom, and then we've got a pool just right in front of our house. So,
see, the pool's the best shot. The best shot is the pool.
Yeah.
Right.
And we just jump in about 4 or 5 times a day.
Those little
those videos today, or what will we be doing for the format of the show? What time am I going to do the good news at 4? Is that what the plan still is?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I did download a couple videos for news, for food news and health. So if you want, where do you want to start today? I mean, I guess we'll do news second.
Okay. For me. So, how about the medicine part of it, the medicinals that we kicked around?
Yes, that's actually food and news, but yeah, we can do that. Hold on.
It is.
Yeah. Anna. All right. Yeah, and it's just nuts. We are going to be this way for another week, I guess, this weather. And it's very sad.
Well, save yourself. Be resilient.
Mm-hmm.
Put up only what you need to do. You know, make sure you have water. You know, make sure the animals have water.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, puppy.
Yeah. Oh, come on. I'm looking for this, and now my dog. Does your dog knock? Either of your dogs knock on your doors to come in?
They make noises. They make noises.
Yes.
If I lock them out,
knocks on the door. Yes. She usually actually tries.
I get the scratches if I lock them out when I'm on the porch. Look, he's just jumped up onto his heating pad in the bedroom. He's going to bed. He just put himself to bed. I gave him chicken when I got home. There you go. I'm like, no, There you go. I'm going to home. I'm going to mute. So what got you on the homeopathic? Because I think that's interesting.
Yeah, and I'm trying to pull up that clip now, but my
I got a cute little story about that. Because I haven't heard that term in many years. And back in the day, before Facebook, you know, where people have to argue amongst themselves and over punctuation and dot and your T's and not really quite getting the gist of the subject, but critiquing your penmanship and your punctuation, you had the little fight amongst the natural health field was the homeopathics and the naturopaths, and then you had your holistic health and the chiropractors and the acupuncturists, and it just became, they were so closely connected, and everything, nothing worked by itself, that you need to kind of incorporate everything into the natural holistic way of life, is what they kind of like settled with, but it used to be the war, it would have been an online war, but it was an actual real life. Because I used to go to the conferences all the time. And homeopathics and naturopathics were like the most at each other's throats. And it's kind of like, you guys are kind of the same. But no, we're not. Oh, kind of funny. Because I haven't heard the word homeopathic in a very, very long time. So it's kind of wondering how that popped up when you got it from.
Yeah, maybe it didn't download. I'm gonna just re-download this and see. It doesn't take too long, but
no worries. You know, in the meantime, I had a. This is kind of. Is this part of your good news, Carla? Am I gonna blow one of your stories? This is the little boy from Wyoming that his parents were charged with CPS violations because the little boy was 13, decided he didn't want to continue with chemotherapy because he didn't care for how it was making him feel. He wasn't feeling he was getting a benefit. And they decided to go the natural route. And they called it the, I don't think they said homeopathics, but it was more of a naturopath type of route with juicing and the vegan diet. And they named a few actual herbs that I've never heard of, zebra something or other.
You have
but that was actually helping him, right? And so the hospital in Utah, they were going to Utah to the children's gynecologist place, sick DCFS upon them. And it became this big thing, and thankfully the state's attorney of Wyoming jumped in and said, oh, no, this is not legal. You can't do this. You've overstepped your medical boundaries. And I was like, oh, yay, we need more of this. And they were like, the gist of the story was, this really wakes us up to the overreach of medical care. It's like, yes, where have you been for 2 years? They have overreached a lot. But this was a win for everybody that the state was able to call off all this, and they were able to continue doing the choice of cancer treatment for their son, and being his choice too. He's 13. I imagine he can choose his gender and whatever, but he couldn't choose whether or not he went back for chemo. And I was like, this is very interesting. But that was like a win for
the That's a great
the
story.
It
Do you
was.
Have the article,
it was.
Elizabeth?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
And I
that?
Have this video ready, if you guys are.
Okay.
We
go
are
ahead,
ready.
Danielle.
We were just
yes.
dead air.
I'd actually like for Elizabeth to read that article to us when we get back. Oh, it will.
I'll pull it up. Great.
This video is about six medicinal plants, like the best six medicinal plants to grow in your garden, and why. So here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Awesome.
Hey guys, this is Josh here with Trillium Wild Edibles, and today I wanted to bring you a video on 6 popular medicinal plants. Honestly, there are a lot of medicinal plants that are popular depending on where you live in the world, and there are thousands of plants with documented uses going back thousands of years. So this list is certainly not exhaustive, but it does cover some of the most popular medicinal plants that occur in the United States and other places around the world. From malaria to dengue fever to sword wounds, colds and flus, and even toilet paper, these plants have got you covered for many uses and have been commonly used as medicinal plants for hundreds, if not thousands of years. So without further ado, let's get started. Number 7 is bee balm or Monarda fistulosa. Though there are many varieties of bee balm, Monarda fistulosa is commonly grown in gardens to attract bees and butterflies, but the people growing it don't always know that it's medicinal. This variety of mint has purple to pink flowers and a unique floral display, which you can see here. Like most mints, it does have a square stem and even smells like mint, and with its opposite leaf structure and lance-shaped toothed leaves, it's rather easy to identify. This plant has been used by native people of the United States for hundreds, if not thousands of years for things ranging from headaches to colds, stomach aches, and even has been used to expel worms. One of the active chemicals in Monarda is carvacol, which is anesthetic, anti-inflammatory, and antioxidant. It has been used in things from teas and poultices to salves and tinctures. The dried leaves and flowers also make a fragrant perfume oil or even a pleasant addition to meats and sauces. Number 6 is red clover or Trifolium praetens. It's commonly found in lawns, fields, and anywhere else that it can grow, and being a legume, many farmers will use it agriculturally to either fertilize their fields or to provide clover hay for livestock. This common plant has the familiar traits of a clover, with its 3 small, roundish-shaped leaves that have a characteristic white mark on them. Red clover is a very popular herbal remedy for coughs and to soothe the throat or to relax the body. Being rich in biologically active compounds, the red clover possesses flavonoids, saponins, and phytoestrogens, which makes it a powerhouse of medicinal research, as well as being a possible cancer preventative. This plant is also used for asthma and bronchitis, so basically if you've got chest congestion, clover is one of your medicines. The dried flowers are what most people use off of this plant, and you may have eaten them as a small child for their sweet flavor. Number 5 is yarrow or Achillea millifolium. This plant has been used for thousands of years, going back supposedly all the way to Achilles' time, as the plant is named after him. This plant's white flowers are a standout sight in the middle of summer, and its unique leaves with their delicate, lacy appearance makes this plant easy to spot and also a favorite for ornamental gardens. Medicinally, this plant is very popular all around the world as it is extremely effective at removing or relieving pain, helping to heal up deep wounds, to stop bleeding, and even more. This plant can be used in soaps and shampoos, as it's said, to help hair growth, but is also antiseptic and antibacterial and helps to improve the skin. This plant's astringent action is due to some of its over 100 biologically active compounds, which include approximately 12 anti-inflammatories. Commonly used in poultices and salves, this very bitter-tasting plant can also be used in teas, though you should be a little bit careful because it does contain tuhone, which tuhone is one of the main ingredients inside of absinthe, so it can have some negative effects on the body if taken in too large of a quantity or for too long of a time. Number 4 is common mullein or Verbascum thaspis. This common roadside plant is very popular in Europe for an expectorant or to relieve coughs and congestion. With its large fuzzy leaves and tall spikes of yellow flowers, it sticks out very well as the plant can get quite tall. Mullein has a long history of use going back thousands of years in Europe and in the Americas. Nowadays, it's gaining quite a reputation again for its immune-boosting properties and its effectiveness at relieving chest congestion. The plant is high in mucilage, which is responsible for soothing mucous membranes in the mouth and the throat, and the plant is also a bronchodilator, meaning it opens up the passageways to allow for better breathing, which is helpful for those with asthma and or bronchitis. It boasts a variety of other uses for things like earaches and ear infections, to bladder and kidney infections, and even to expelling worms in humans and livestock. At one point in time, the leaves and flowers were combined with red clovers for smoking to help clear the lungs, and the leaves are still smoked today for this purpose. Also, those really large leaves make excellent toilet paper that is really soft. Number 3 is coneflower or Echinacea angustifolia. There are many varieties of coneflower, and up until the 1980s, studies that were thought to be done on angustifolia were actually done on another Echinacea variety, Echinacea pallida. This is because coneflowers will hybridize easily with one another and also the Rutabecchia family, making it hard at times to determine what exactly is what. Regardless of which, the coneflower is world-renowned for its immune-boosting properties and its ability to stop most colds and flus dead in their tracks when combined with boneset and or golden seal. and has a long history of use within the United States to the natives of the plains who use this plant extensively for snake bites and septicemia. On the frontier is used for poisonous spider bites, gangrene, and other bacterial infections that were hard to treat, and at one time was the most widely used medicinal plant in North America. The three most common varieties are Angustifolia, Pileta, Purpurea, and are all used interchangeably, with Purpurea being the one you are probably used to taking if you have bought modern synthesized versions of Echinacea. Number two is broadleaf plantain, or Plantago major. This familiar lawn and garden weed is considered to be a nuisance today, and at one time the natives of North America actually called it white man's foot because it went everywhere we went. A member of the same family that many get their psyllium husks from, this plant undoubtedly can be used similarly. A very popular plant amongst old-timers and beginners alike because of its effectiveness at providing a cooling, relaxing sensation that is also astringent, anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, and antimicrobial. Another mucilaginic plant that is soothing to the throat and mucous membranes, as well as being a bronchodilator, it has even been used for coughs, hoarseness of the throat, and with supporting herbs to help with bronchitis. The cooling and drawing action or astringency of the plant makes it good for insect stings, boils, zits, sore muscles, rheumatic pain, and to remove infection and abscesses, cuts, and wounds. Plantain contains many anti-inflammatories and antibiotics, according to science, and usually shares a habitat with the white clover in lawns, which also has some similar uses. Number one is boneset, or Eupatorium perfoliatum. This plant was once one of the most widely used herbs in America, especially when bouts of dengue fever or flu epidemics were prevalent, like in the 18th and 19th centuries. A bitter plant that gets its Latin name from the way the leaves perforate the stem, and its common name from one of the ailments that it was used to treat, dengue, or breakbone fever. This plant has shown promising use in malaria due to some sesquiterpenes and flavonoids that have been extracted from it, which gives credence to some of the historical uses of boneset for treatment of malaria. Commonly used as a tea in olden days, it's best, in my personal opinion, to use it as a tincture now because if served warm, like in a tea, it can cause profuse sweating and evacuation of the bowels. Whereas when given cold, like in a tincture, it helps to reduce fevers, knock out colds and flus, malarias, and even to treat rheumatism. Boneset has shown anti-inflammatory properties as well as immune-boosting properties and was even used in a poultice for tumors and other inflammatory skin conditions. So I thank you guys for watching this video. I hope you enjoyed it and I hope you learned something. If you want to learn more about edible and medicinal plants, make sure to subscribe.
Okay,
so what do we think? Really, I loved it. And, you know, those are really all you need to know. The last thing he said was the profuse sweating and the evacuation of the bowels. That's how you get better. You get the garbage out of your body, and then your body can start healing. And those are old, true, time-tested ways. The old sweat lodges and things and the old castor oil they used to have. That's how you got better, and you didn't develop all of these lymphoma. You know, lymphoma is just your lymph system is your garbage system, and when that is not moving and gets coagulated and the lymph nodes get bigger and bigger because your body's not able to get the toxins out, that's when you get sick. So, yeah, those herbs are great. And that echinacea and golden seal, oh, my gosh, those are wonderful herbs. You can get them. We used to make something that was called liquid. We called it liquid gold. It was olive oil and golden seal, echinacea, and then we threw garlic in because you could get garlic in herbal form in capsules. And you'd make it in a double boiler with some cheesecloth and put them in these little drop brown bottles with the little droppers. And that was the best thing for ear infections. We used to make those and hand them out years ago.
I use garlic the old-fashioned way. I don't put it in capsules. I just put too much of it in everything I cook.
Yeah, that's good. That's good, too. I make it in teas, too. But, you know, there's nothing worse than a lung infection and an earache. Those are the two most common things. And if you can get bypass a doctor's visit and do it naturally, boom, it works better in my opinion. And then the worst thing to do is to have to go to a doctor when you're sick. You want to stay home in bed and do your little things to get better, and then you get out of bed and you're all better. That's
usually what I want to do, but especially because doctors make you wear masks if you go in now. And if you say no, you've got an exemption. They put you through all kinds of nastiness. Well, so I actually prefer my doctor's appointments digital for sure.
We're going into a whole new land of weird. And, you know, and they're not
Elizabeth,
even using.
Elizabeth, could you please describe the process again a little more slowly of rendering down for your that golden.
Certainly. We would call it liquid. My friend, she made it. And they were in missionaries in Colombia, and her father was an engineer and took the family there to be missionaries. He got a terrible open sore on his ankle, and they wanted to amputate him. And he was almost going to fly back to the States to see a real doctor. And then he found one of the Indians down there, introduced him to some natural herbs, and gave him a salve. And it was made out of golden seal and black walnut hull, and that healed up that wound and saved his foot. And he was like, wow. And he got into this herb thing, and he became an herbalist. And his daughter made this concoction. Okay. She called it liquid gold. And what it was very simple. Real cold-pressed olive oil, extra virgin olive oil, cold-pressed. And then we used Nature Sunshine Herbs. That was the company that he was with. And they're very good herbs. And they come herbal capsules. And you'd get a bottle of Golden Seal and a bottle of Echinacea and a bottle of garlic and unload probably 30 capsules of each into a double boiler. And cook that in the olive oil for a couple of hours. And then you take a cheesecloth and drain the oil into another container so that it was just the oil and then it had the resins of the herbs in it. And then she'd buy these little eyedroppers that came with the little eyedrop bottles, and they were brown bottles. You could get them at a pharmacy. This was 30 years ago. I'm sure you can probably still get them. And then she just fill them up and hand them out to whoever. And it was like, this is your winter remedy for earaches. And it would soothe the oil, and you'd warm it up in a little glass. So it's warm oil, and put a little bit of a dropper of that in your ear and let it sit in there. And then kind of move off and let it drain out a little bit. And here's another thing she would do, would cut an onion in half, a big onion, and heat that onion. And this is the only thing I don't agree with, is they used microwaves. I'm like, I still to this day don't own a microwave. They'd put an onion in a microwave for 10 seconds, get it hot, put it in like a paper towel, and then put that onion on top of the cut side on the ear, and you'd lay with a hot onion on your ear, and that would draw all the infection and help to ease the pain, and you were all better. So it's a very simple little remedy.
Very cool. Describe
it
is making a tincture, and all of the herbs that the young man just mentioned in the video, same process. So you grow them, you know, so you're saying buying them in capsules, but you get the herbs and then you render them down and make it, right? So it's sort of
a healing tincture. They've been doing this for centuries. This is how we kept ourselves from being, in pain, withering away. They learned how to, through word of mouth, and these are passed down, little recipes. And that's the knowledge they wanted to take away from us so that we'd be dependent upon Western medicine. And even back in the day, you could still find some good books that had these things in it. Like, remember, I have these, and I'm so glad I do. I don't know if you can still get them. There was one that was written in the 70s. It was called Oh, good Lord. Let me see real quick. Oh, and I'm sure you've heard of it, Carla. And
yes.
Danielle, maybe not, because they kind of did away with this. It's called Fit for Life. Fit for Life is what it was called. And it has so many recipes of just how to eat right, diet, exercise, and then some healing, because food is healing. Those are things that they just kind of like wanted to wipe out of our memory. Thanks. And then, of course, you know, you had the government get in play with the FDA, and a lot of these books you can't get because the FDA said, no, no, no. This is dangerous to have this type of knowledge. We haven't approved it. So they're called the oil company. I'm with Young Living. I use essential oils now. The guy that ran that company, he came from Nature Sunshine, Gary Young. He was a chemist. And he started cooking up the herbs into oils. And he wrote a book, several books, matter of fact. And it has an extensive library of how these herbs have been used back from the Benedictine monks and just traditional Amazon tribes and just all different kinds of history of how this one plant was used and what it's beneficial for. And it's like a Bible. It's the big book. Call and Order My Oils. It's been banned and pulled off the shelves. The FDA, if you're not afraid of what kind of country we're living in, you should be just based upon this. This is like probably 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago. The FDA went into bookstores and pulled this book from the shelf. And we were like, what? So I bought two of them, and they were very expensive. But they call it now, it's called the Black Book. Nobody's supposed to know about it or talk about it, even that work at the company. And so I give these guys my little recipes of what I do. And that's the only way we're going to get through this is if we share our knowledge, because they've taken that away and banned health books because it's not FDA approved, which is frightening. But these are old, passed down little recipes that I'm sure that this little recipe that Snooki got probably might have come from a tribe of Indians in Colombia, because that's where they were at in the 60s when they were living and learned how to do these things. And that means that that's very old. Yeah.
Very
the golden seal.
So
golden seal.
Golden seal is nature's
antibiotic. The number one antibiotic in nature. And then you get
that
garlic.
I think bee propolis is up there too.
What is?
Bee propolis.
My God, I can't catch that. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, like the honey bee, B-E-E, propolis, P-R-O-P,
yeah. L-I-O-P.
I don't know what that is. I know they have bee pollen capsules.
It's probably got a Y, P-R-O-P-H-Y-L-I-S.
No, P-R-O-P-O-L-I-S.
Propolis, okay.
B-E-E, yeah, so propolis, or bee glue, is a resinous mixture of honeybees that honeybees produce by mixing saliva and beeswax with, have to open it up.
You know, we had, it was called bee pollen, and that's exactly what it was. It was little gold nuggets encapsulated in bee pollen. It's fantastic for everything.
This is what bees use, the process that beehives use to seal up hives. And that apparently has, because you know honey doesn't go bad because there's antibiotic in it, right? So
right.
But that's basically like another good and natural antibiotic.
And that was, back in the day, it was called bee pollen. Just like, they have changed the meanings of every word to where we don't know what anything is. But I think they even hint that bee pollen is what that is, basically. And
no, I think bee pollen's a little bit different.
You do, you? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, not to split hairs, but like it's also used for medicinal purposes. But my children's other grandma, she was a hippie, and she passed away 2012. But she was a huge hippie, like 60s hippie, raised my ex on this stuff, this bee propolis. So you know what I mean? Like, I know, because she, it's not just a newer thing. Like, she's a hippie and she introduced it to me. So,
no, right. I've never heard of it, which I don't, that doesn't mean anything really, because I'm not that amazingly smart, but I've never heard of it. So that's a new one for me, which is good. Yeah, I think that's fantastic. And this, you know, there's a guy, it was Dr. Areola, and I was blessed to be able to get this book from this couple that went to Columbia in the 60s. They taught me many things, and she gave me this book, and this is one that is totally out of print. Areola. It was called the Dr. Areola's Diet, and he basically, it's basic nuts and fruits and vegetables, but mostly nuts and then grains. And then your vitamins, and then fasting. Fasting was a lot. And he probably was very, you know, Dr. Sebi probably took his thing and then expound upon it with the alkaline, you know, separating the vegetables and what vegetable is good and what's not for treating, you know, for coming up with the Dr. Sebi diet is a very similar. But that is the secret, is eliminate all this terrible food we put in our body that our body cannot digest. If your body is working at a fast pace, trying to digest food, it cannot help to heal itself. That's why you don't want to eat before you go to bed, because that's when your body rejuvenates. You want to have an empty stomach so your body can work hard at building its immune system and building the organs. But when you're sick, don't eat. You want to fast so that your body, all the energy goes into healing. And we've totally are like away from that, because that's too hard. We want that one. We want the Z-Pack. You know, we want the one pill and on the way we go. To go get our McDonald's and off we go. That's not how you get better. You want to go back to the real beneficial healing foods and plants. And plants were foods back in the day. And that's how you want. That's the key to good health, is that. That requires hard work. We've gotten away from, we'd like to have that easy, quick fix in medicine. And if it doesn't happen, nobody's going to want to do the whole making tea, you know, make a garlic, ginger, onion tea and cut an onion and put it on your chest and cut an onion and put it on your, like, oh, no. I'm going to the doctor and sit in a waiting room for, you know, an hour and then be subjected to, oh, we need to have an MRI. And if you don't get an MRI, they're not happy. That's the new thing. Everybody wants these technology that the doctors have. And that's not helping your body. That's more of a opening up the, you know, it's kind of like you don't really need to see what's here. You treat symptoms. It used to be you would tell the doctor what was wrong with you. What are your symptoms? And they'd be like, okay, why don't you try this? But basically, when you're sick, you don't eat. You drink broths, you know, chicken soup. You rest. You try to get the good stuff in. They used to call that, you know, good old-fashioned Jewish penicillin, right? It was the chicken noodle soup. Or the chicken soup, not noodles, but just the broth. And it was hot broth. Helped your body to rest and to heal and take its you know, the extra energy to digest food takes away from the healing process. And those are things that just simply are not talked about, or they're poo-pooed, which is a shame. But those are the old, true, tried and true things that used to get people better. And I, that's what I subscribe to. So I was so glad we were going to go down this line of conversation, because we really need it, because people don't, they just don't realize how beneficial or how detrimental your eating habits can be, you know? I saw this commercial. This new thing is, and I'm like, oh, this is how far we're going. This is sad. You now fill out something, and it's almost like a DNA thing, where you tell them exactly what you've been eating, and they can come back and analyze and tell you what you might be allergic to. And it's like, really? You can't just put one, two, and two together yourself? You have to go through this dynamic new thing that's like the ancestry kind of
yeah,
thing.
Actually,
and I'm like, yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that's exactly what we're doing for my daughter. It's a 6 months. It could take up to 6 months. Yeah. It could take up to 6 months to do it. And you can't get vaccines while you have it done. So Ava definitely needs allergy testing. And I really approve. You cannot get vaccinated while doing an allergy test. I just found all this out.
Oh,
I can take many several.
Yes. Keep on taking them.
Yep. It can take up to 6 months,
good.
And I'm good at that. I want to make sure it's thorough.
And then, you know, you might want to do another one after that, too, because you never...
Yeah, just to make sure to confirm.
I got to confirm it. Absolutely.
Maybe we could do this until she graduates.
Perhaps. Mm-hmm. Because you just can't be too safe. It's all about safety. It is. And that's what we were talking about that today. It was kind of like, when do we become such a safe society? You know, the one of the guys, I was like, I can't believe I grew up with these guys. God forbid. I was like, thank God we don't need them for anything. Because now they're like, they have to wear these earmuffs on their ears because as if they had a tractor. The lawnmower is going to damage their hearing after they've been in a rock concert, and that's the kind of manly men we have. And I'm like, oh my God, can't be too safe. Man.
Right.
Maybe.
Right.
But, you know, use it to your benefit, though.
I'm not going to get into it now because we only have a few more minutes until the good news report. But for the third hour, I want to talk about there's a doctor who was a frequent flyer visitor on the CNNs, MSNBC, really, really like a hardcore mask Nazi, right? Definitely put your masks on your children. Don't even think about opening up society until everybody is required, mandated to wear a mask. And she's changed her mind. And I've got a video to play in the third hour, or the audio to play about that, of that in the third hour. And but that goes right to the point, to your point about safety. It's like the whole world, right, is put safety above everything else. And it comes down, you know, when you read this article that says New York Times article that says why, you know, from this same woman saying why I'm not sending my children back to school in masks. You know, it really does. And it's because her son, spoiler alert, has some sort of learning delay, you know, and his speech development was delayed because he wasn't seeing anybody talk, right? And we have been screaming about
and
ever since this mask nonsense. Yeah, and so now all of a sudden, this woman's like, well, wait a second, now my son's speech delayed. It's like, okay, doctor, why didn't you figure this out sooner before you forced, you know, speech delays on most of our children? You know what?
All
why is there no accountability for that? All in the name of so-called safety, right? At what cost? You know, at what cost? Safety at what cost? Mm-hmm. And that's really the question that we should ask ourselves.
Exactly. And it's like, at what point?
We're talking about that in the good news report today.
Oh, good.
Apparently, Yes. So about how they, far they have set back the children that they kept out of school and masked and you know, with all of their mandates. So while obviously not good news about the delays, what will happen as a result of what they've done is that so many people will stand up and say, you will never get away with this crap again. And so I'm going to be talking a little bit about that in the good news report today. Okay.
Good.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I found that article, if you wanted me to read that article, please. It's from – I subscribe to Wyoming let me see here. The Wyoming State Daily. I have a house out in Wyoming. My father left me. And it's funny looking at the picture here. It could be my father's living room because everything is paneled with brick and dark wood, horse pictures everywhere. But this is a Riverton family defends son's chemotherapy pause. Doctor calls authorities. This was published September 1st, 2022 in the News and Health of the Cowboy State Daily. It's by Claire McFarland. After weeks of chemotherapy, 13-year-old Anthony Hernandez decided in July to take a break. But when Anthony's mother informed the doctor of his decision on July 1st, the doctor called the Department of Family Services, and Anthony's family became the subject of a medical neglect case. Beth Guggenmose, Anthony's mother, told Cowboy State Daily on Tuesday, the tumor in his chest, Anthony Hernandez of Riverton was diagnosed May 1st with a lymphoblastic leukemia, a fast-moving leukemia originating in the bone marrow. His symptoms began in March, his mother said. I couldn't figure out what in the world was going on, said his mother. Anthony would lie on the floor, writhing in pain, but he didn't have a fever, she said. Their family's doctor in Riverton suspected that the boy was dealing with a virus. In April, Anthony's arms swelled. His mother took him back to the family doctor. The doctor gave Anthony an x-ray. That's when they found the tumor in his chest. The tumor pressed in on the boy's airway and caused swelling in his arms and legs. The family went to a children's hospital in Salt Lake City, where Anthony received his diagnosis on May 1st and started a 3-week round of chemotherapy immediately, along with a bone marrow and other testing. The chemotherapy substances were injected into the boy's spine. The tumor went away. Anthony went into remission. Then his doctor in Utah placed him on another 4-week round of chemotherapy. Anthony's foot swelled and other severe side effects followed, including extreme nausea, pain, fatigue, bloating, muscle loss, all much worse than the original symptoms, his mother said. I can't pinpoint a time when he said he couldn't do this anymore because it just felt like it was the whole thing, the whole time. Doctors dug bone and tissue samples from Anthony's foot because they believed he had a bone infection following the spinal injections and tests. He did not. But the foot surgery only made Anthony sicker, his mother said. Every time he'd go under, he'd get worse and worse, meaning the surgery. After the surgery, the family doctor wanted to do more lumbar spinal punctures and put Anthony on a round of intensive chemotherapy followed by, now this killed me, by 2 more years of chemotherapy treatment. His mom wasn't sure if Anthony could handle it all. I asked the doctor if we could take a break from that because he did go through some traumatic experiences. Anthony's doctor disagreed with the boy's mother. The doctor called the Department of Family Services and DFS began investing in the family for child neglect. And then the parents went public, describing Anthony's plight on Facebook and to friends. And we've received so much support, she said. Although DFS conducted the investigation, it was the responsibility of Fremont County Attorney Patrick LeBron to decide whether to charge the family with a crime. He called us and asked if he could meet with us in mid-August, Anthony's mom said. And he told us when we got there that he is going to dismiss the case and that he was very sorry it went as far as it did. LeBron told Anthony's mother and her husband that they didn't have to worry about his office charging them, although he couldn't stop DFS from confronting the family. And LeBron declined to comment to Cowboy State. We found out today DFS is going to continue with the investigation with medical negligence, said Anthony's mom on Tuesday. If they find we are neglecting Anthony, then Joel and I will be on a child neglect list. Wyoming DFS keeps a central registry of its suspects in child abuse and neglect that outside parties such as employers and child facilities is not long details of its child investigations under Wyoming's juvenile protection laws. We will definitely go back there. The family hasn't sworn off chemotherapy or mainstream medicine. While they are taking a break to pursue naturopathic medicines with a trained naturopath in Fremont County, the family still is working with a Utah hospital to monitor Anthony's blood and symptoms. Anthony's mom said they plan to visit the Utah hospital, take regular blood draws, and stay in touch with them. Because if what we're doing is not working, then we will definitely go back there. Hospital staff agreed to continue monitoring Anthony, and the boy's Utah-based doctor was very supportive of that. In the meantime, Anthony is on a vegan diet, intense juicing and herbal cleanses, zebra fish supplements, and other natural detoxifiers. To his mother's surprise, Anthony's symptoms now do not resemble what he was enduring in March before his diagnosis, and they're a far cry from his symptoms while on chemotherapy, she said. Anthony's mom said Anthony remains in remission. He's very happy he's not doing chemo anymore. He's loving how he's feeling. It's been really nice to see him have energy and just be a kid again. Anthony bikes and swims. He's an outdoorsman and a socialite with a few good friends. Anthony's mom said the family's experience this summer has been a real eye-opener toward how much authority medical professionals can exert over their clients. And it's a shame because I feel the trust has been breached there. That was the article. I was like, I can't believe this doctor wanted to continue for 2 more years. That poor child would have been like in hell for 2 years because they want to continue with their chemotherapy treatment. And hats off to the attorney, the state's attorney, for seeing this as being what it was, which is incredible, you know, because it used to be you had the right to a second opinion. You had the right to go find a different doctor and a different treatment. You had a play in what your health was. And apparently, if you don't do what they say, well, now we're going to sick you with child abuse and neglect. And I was just very, very, very pleased that there are still some decent law enforcement and politicians out there that are on our side. So this was a win for everybody, I thought.
That was a really good article.
Thank
very
you.
Well done.
And I wanted, it
Hats
was.
Off to the
it really was.
Advocating for the child, too.
You broke
hats
up a little bit.
I said hats off
oh,
to
yeah.
the parent for advocating for
oh,
their
yeah.
child.
Absolutely.
All right, are we ready for the good news report?
I am definitely ready for the good news report.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So there was obviously lots of happenings this week. The political battles are raging. People are standing up for themselves. We're being called Nazis and extremists and terrorists and all sorts of horrible names for all of that. For disagreeing with what supposedly is mainstream. So that's all been happening. But the good news is that we win. Okay. So, interesting. Remember way back when we were all discussing that there were biolabs in Ukraine and that all this war business and sending all this money over there was to protect the interests of the deep state so that no one found out what they were doing. Well, another country, North Korea, has accused the U.S. of biological warfare in Ukraine. North Korea accused the United States on Sunday of manufacturing biological weapons in Ukraine, echoing a Russian claim and a Chinese claim dismissed by the United Nations in March. Washington set up many biological labs in tens of countries and regions, including Ukraine, in disregard of the international treaties, the official Korean Central News Agency said Sunday, citing what it said had been detected by Russia. More good news. hold on. Let me go to the actual post. Toria Brooks said that they raided the home of a man named Victor Vexelberg. He was a Clinton Foundation donor and key player in the Uranium One scandal. Bill Clinton personally lobbied State Department to allow the Russian oligarch, another Russian, who knew, to attend a CGI conference in 2012. Vexelberg donated between $25,000 and $50,000 to the Clinton Foundation. Spanish police and the FBI seized his $90 million super yacht in April after the DOJ found alleged bank fraud, money laundering, and sanctions statutes had been violated. Another one, can you believe it? Very surprising, isn't it? Let's see, where was I? Okay. Mm-hmm. good week for the people who believe that the media is the enemy of the people. Actually, the last couple of weeks, you know, I was sick last week, so I didn't get to laugh at Brian Stelter losing his job. Well, this week, another one bites the dust. His name is John Harwood. He is a regular CNN anchor. Ladies and gentlemen, CNN White House correspondent. He's senior correspondent for the White House. John Harwood has an announcement to make. You should probably have a box of Kleenex nearby because personal news. This is John Harwood on his personal Twitter account. Today's my last day at CNN. Proud of the work. Thanks to my colleagues. I've been lucky to serve the best in American media, St. Petersburg Time, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, and the NBC family, and CNN. Look forward to figuring out what's next. And, of course, the libs went crazy. But I'd like to remind you who John Harwood is. Oh, well, Danielle will get this one, but we're going to do another pop quiz. What do we remember about John Harwood, Danielle?
I actually don't know.
John Harwood was in the WikiLeaks dump as the one person, as the journalist who was asking John Podesta questions he should pose at the debate back in 2015. Before the 2016 election. That was back before everybody dropped out and Trump became the nominee. But there's a bunch of emails going back and forth between John Harwood and John Podesta asking him permission and for input on what questions to ask at the debate. So there it is. And bye-bye, John Harwood. The Trump curse is in full effect. And of course, the week before that, it was Brian Stelter, another hack at CNN. So here we are. So Congress,
you know what
James
the best
Comer-
part about that story is?
Tell me.
The liberals trending cancel CNN.
Oh yeah, they're furious. You should see the comments. You should see the comments. They're mad at John Lick. I think it's pronounced Licht. That's the new guy that took over when they decided because here's the thing: CNN's losing money, and the stockholders have a right to a product that people will actually watch. And John Licht got in there and said, "Look, I think it got bought out. We're going to actually make this a news organization instead of a bunch of hacks." And yes,
it would be really nice if it would be really nice if after all of this, the people that they're firing are the what's it called, the project something bird
Mockingbird.
Yes. I bet those are probably, I bet you Brian Seltzer and this other guy were CIA.
Mockingbird Media,
I
and the new one, so, the new guy that so, I tuned in, and they have this illusion of, we're very professional, we're news people, but they still want to roll in the same scandalous innuendo about Trump, and I'm like, yeah, this is not working for you guys, I'm sorry. But I'm surprised that the liberals are not liking this because they haven't changed their message.
No, they're mad because their mouthpiece is getting taken down brick by brick, okay? Not that anyone listens to them anymore, but again, and you guys have heard me say this, the one thing that Trump did for this country was expose the media for what it is. And so while they may... They don't have any power anymore. Thank God. That's the best news ever. Here we go. Congressman James Comer, who is the chairman of the House Oversight Committee, says that there are dozens of whistleblowers coming forward, not only from the FBI, but from the top law enforcement agencies as a whole, including Customs and Border Patrol and Homeland Security. We're watching the implosion of the Biden administration right before our very eyes. Systematic destruction, and I couldn't be happier. Yesterday, Belgian farmers also rose up and blocked the Huisgarden. Some of them broke into the municipality shouting, farmers, farmers, farmers. So it's not just happening here in the United States. It's happening all over the world. You'll never see it on the news, though. News this week. Oops, what happened? They walked out an ex-Washington field office special agent in charge, Tim Theobald. And so here, that's a big story, and I probably have more articles about it, but right here, that's just the headline. This last week, they say he resigned, but he was asked to resign or ordered to resign. Tim Theobald, he was involved in the Hunter Biden laptop cover-up. They walked him out. He was also involved in the warrant for the Mar-a-Lago raid. Turns out he's been doing stuff in the dark, and they walked him off the job because they had to, not because they got caught. So there's more on that. Wasn't he also
caught up in something else that was with election?
I know I have the story, and I'm going to find it, but yes, it was. But here's some really good news. Judge nixes vaccine mandate for D.C. government employees. A D.C. Superior Court judge Thursday struck down D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser's order that all district employees be vaccinated for COVID-19. Bowser instituted the mandate last August requiring vaccination or weekly COVID-19 testing for D.C. government workers in offices reporting directly to her, and proof of vaccination was later required by February 15, 2022, according to Judge Morgan Roth. Roth found Bowser was not authorized to unilaterally require vaccination and ordered that all Fraternal Order of Police members be fully reimbursed for pay and benefits lost as a result. Had the mayor just engaged the union in good faith bargaining, we could have reached a reasonable compromise that protected everyone's interests, D.C. Police Union Chairman Greg Pemberton stated, reacting to the decision. Now all of our members can go back to doing the necessary work of trying to protect our communities from crime and violence without unlawful threats of discipline and termination.
That's awesome.
So they made these decisions unilaterally, okay, and a bunch of people quit. And then what happened? Crime went through the roof in those places because they don't have enough people and they couldn't hire anyone else to come in under those kind of circumstances. So
I don't think they care about that, though. They had the same ruling happen in Chicago. Tom DeVore got the Chicago Police Department, all those guys got back in, too. That just happened this week.
Yes.
It's the same type of ruling.
So that kind of stuff is going to be happening all over the United States. Danielle, if
it was illegal,
you pull up an article about Theobald, because I can't find it. Hold on. I take that back. I had it in the FBI raid folder. Okay. So this guy, this is a must read. This is from Technofog, okay? A former FBI official who allegedly shut down part of the investigation into Hunter Biden was running point in the Bureau's dealings with a key witness in the probe, according to sources directly familiar with the matter. The witness, Chody Bobolinsky, you remember that guy, Danielle?
Yeah.
I sure do. And he was saying, I was there. Joe Biden is definitely the big guy. I have all the emails. I have all the information. I have Hunter Biden's business partner. He had all the emails. Hunter Biden was communicating with foreign governments, with China, with all of it. And they discounted this guy. And as we come to find out, the witness, Tony Bobolinsky, now has concerns that the former official, Timothy Theobald, helped bury information about his dealings with the Biden family that he gave to the FBI, sources told the Washington Free Beacon. FBI official accused of shutting down Hunter Biden. Here we go. I'm just going to go to the article. The witness, Tony Bobolinsky, now has concerns that the former official, Timothy Theobald, helped bury information about his dealings with the Biden family that he gave to the FBI. Theobald retired from the FBI last week amid allegations from whistleblowers that he shut down an investigation into an avenue of derogatory information about Hunter Biden in October of 2020. Senate Republicans began scrutinizing Theobald earlier this year over anti-Trump rhetoric, obviously, he posted on social media. It's been unclear what role Theobald played in the Biden investigation, which began in 2018. But his oversight of Bobolinsky means he oversaw one of the most significant witnesses to come forward with information about the Biden's business links to China. The FBI interviewed Bobolinsky for 5 hours on October 23, 2020, after Bobolinsky publicly disputed Joe Biden's claim to have never discussed business with his son. Bobolinsky said he met with Hunter and Joe Biden in May 2017 to discuss a multimillion-dollar deal with CESC, China Energy Conglomerate, with ties to the Chinese military. So all this time, Bobolinsky has been saying, hey, yeah, they were. and this cop, this FBI agent, was sort of in charge of his testimony and of his evidence. And here we go. Let's see. Where am I going to go with this? Okay. So that's the FBI raid. We're up to date. They fired his ass. And, yes, he was definitely in a part of getting that warrant for Mar-a-Lago. I don't know if you have, Danielle, and I think it's super important because I would love over the next, you know, few months that we have a discussion about what our children are being taught in school. Did you download the Project Veritas videos that came out this week?
I did not. No. I think we, I don't know. I figured everybody already knew that stuff.
Well, of course. But he has on film a couple of teachers talking about the way they hire people, that if you are a Catholic, if you are a conservative, if you're a little bit older, they won't hire you because they want to make sure that the information that is being pounded into your children's head is of a progressive nature and, you know, even more progressive than what we think. The gender stuff, it's Marxist ideology that's given to children, and they want to make sure that it continues. So here we go.
Yeah.
We have real proof that the deep state is real. We have a quote from a man named David Rockefeller. He says, some even believe we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure, one world, if you will. If that is the charge, I stand guilty, and I am proud of it. Right from the horse's mouth, guys. Who knew?
Yeah. They have to tell us.
And when they tell, when they show you who they are, believe them. Okay? You should believe them. Let's see. Here's the Project Veritas stuff that I really, and I wish you would have downloaded, but I suppose we can do that next week, right? Okay, here we go with Ketogate. You know, that's always my favorite. And we're back to John Podesta. Okay, so a little backstory about John Podesta. Right leading up to the 2016 election, there were, shall we say, October surprises that rocked the political world. And there was a gentleman named Julian Assange who provided a key to all the information that he had raided from the DNC and from the Clinton campaign. And, of course, we all knew that Clinton was evil. We tried to, you know, tell people, no, this is Hillary Clinton. These people, this is a cabal. These are wicked, wicked people. But Julian Assange provided what I would consider evidence that came directly from the horse's mouth. And he targeted in particular a man named John Podesta. John Podesta, over and over and over again, emails going back and forth demonstrating that this man is a pedophile and that he's a predator. And it was obvious from what was in those emails that he didn't believe he would ever get caught, and that he was in such a position of power that he believed he was bulletproof. Back to the email between him and John Harwood about what to say, what questions to ask at a debate with a journalist. This week, the Biden administration has hired former Clinton aide John Podesta, a.k.a. Skippy Molesta, to serve as a senior White House advisor for clean energy. Now is a good time to read through my Pizzagate series on Substack if you haven't already. So I thought I would give a little bit of an overview. Pizzagate Exposed, Part 1. I want to start my Pizzagate series by, this is by Liz Cronkin, and it was published back in January of 2015, believe it or not. So back when all of this was going on.
Oh, yeah, she's
old school. Yeah, she's definitely old school. I want to start my Pizzagate series by establishing the fact that pizza has become known, has been a known pedophile code word used by predators to operate hidden in plain sight for many years. In October of 2016, when the Podesta emails were released, the Urban Dictionary actually had defined cheese pizza as child porn. Okay? So the Urban Dictionary obviously isn't, you know, what I would call a solid source, but everybody knows it. Okay? At that time, there were two definitions of pizza as a code word for child porn, one from 2010 and one from 2015. So it's important
Mom,
to know
you're kind of far away.
Okay. Is that a little bit better?
Yeah.
I turned on the air conditioner. So I know it probably, yeah. I've been keeping it off because I didn't want to make the noise that it's going to interrupt.
It's okay.
Is
just
that
talk a little
better?
Louder, that's all. We just want to make sure
better?
That everybody hears you. Yep.
Okay. At that time, there were two definitions of pizza as a code word for child porn, one from 2010 and one from 2015. So it's important to note these definitions were established long before the Podesta emails were released. Shortly after the release of the Podesta emails, which were littered with the word pizza in a context that did not make sense for the word to be used as food, or even a code word for some other nefarious activity such as illegal drugs, the Urban Dictionary scrubbed those definitions. As someone who researched Pizzagate immediately after the Podesta emails released, I saw the alternative definition of cheese pizza as child porn on the Urban Dictionary site with my very own eyes before it was scrubbed back in 2016. Luckily, nothing on the internet is lost forever. Many researchers archived these definitions. However, the fact that these items were scrubbed should go to show you what great lengths the cabal went to in order to hide the true meaning of those code words from the public. The deep state not only controls the media, but also much of the information flow on the internet, which has made it almost impossible for the average person to discover the truth about any of their dark secrets. Okay, so I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's very, very long, but CBS Philly reported prosecutors say an undercover officer first made contact with Salmak. Okay, so Salmak is one of the ones that was involved in the Pizzagate cover-up after he was looking for moms that are into cheese pizza, a reference to child pornography. So all of this is tied right back to John Podesta and all of those nasty emails that showed the world just who it was that was running our government. Yeah. Yes, apparently this is now international symptom of pedophilia because pedos like to advertise that they're pedos. Okay, so here's the thing. Then they censored us. As soon as we started digging, and this is actually what did it, this is what swung the election. Those emails changed the face of this country. People opened their eyes and began to realize just who it was that was running our country and trying to run our country. And now he's asked him back into the Biden administration. These people are shameless. They don't care if we know. They're laughing at us. They're smug. So what does that tell you? You know, everybody's talking about a red wave in 2022, and we're all excited, and we're going to take the government back. It tells me that even if they lose, they don't care. Which is kind of scary.
Yeah. It tells me that they think they know that they won't lose, and that's even more scary. You know?
Yeah. So pay attention.
That type of arrogance.
All right. So along that line of not giving a shit, apparently California has Democrat California a refuge for teen sex change surgeries. So it says, California Democrats in the state assembly and state senate have advanced legislation that would make the state a sanctuary where out-of-state parents can take their children to undergo sex change procedures. On Monday, the legislative body passed Senate Bill 107 along party lines, with all 19 Republicans assembly members voting against it and 60 Democrats. Do you see what kind of a balance we have here in California? 19 Republicans and 60 Democrats. Senator Scott Wiener introduced the bill, and a release from his office asserted it would provide refuge for trans kids and their families. Okay. So come over here and get mutilated for life. It's all okay. So here we go back to Pedogate, still with Pedogate. Utah FBI employee arrested on suspicion of sexually abusing multiple children. The good old FBI again. So here's, speaking of positions of power, this is what they do. Utah FBI employee arrested on suspicion of sexually abusing multiple minors. An FBI employee was arrested in Utah last week on multiple charges of sexually abusing children. Police arrested 65-year-old Robert Alexander Smith last Wednesday at his home in Stansbury Park and booked him into the Tupelo County Jail. He's being held without bail. According to KSL-TV, the county sheriff's office interviewed up to five young girls who claimed to be the victims of Smith. Smith is facing four first-degree felony counts of aggravated sexual abuse of a child, four Class A misdemeanor counts of lewdness involving a child, and two Class B misdemeanor counts of lewdness. We are aware of the arrest of an FBI employee. The FBI takes this is their statement about it, the FBI takes allegations of misconduct very seriously. Sure they do. As such, the incident has been referred to the FBI's internal affairs section. We cannot comment further on an ongoing personal matter. It is unclear what Smith's exact responsibilities with the FBI were. And
yes.
Finally, we have a blue check woman on Twitter telling us, this is what she says. Minors actually can consent to sex. Each state has its own laws on this. They're coming for your children. Okay? Let's see. Child sex trafficking ring busted up in Scioto County, wherever that is. I'll have to read it. This was 1 week ago. There have been 11 convictions in Scioto County for federal child sex trafficking. In June 2020, a federal grand jury indicted Larry Dean Porter, 71, of Wheelersburg, Ohio, and numerous of his family members and colleagues. Porter traded drugs obtained in Columbus and abroad for sexual access to drug-addicted moms' children. Porter and nine of his co-defendants have pled guilty to federal charges. Following a trial in Columbus that was completed last week, a jury also convicted the final co-defendant, Joshua Aldridge, 38, of South Webster, Ohio, Porter's residence, in exchange for illegal substances from Porter, who was convicted of sex trafficking children and sex trafficking adults by force, all of which are punishable up to life in prison. Wow, cool. Good job, Ohio. As well as sex trafficking children, which is punishable by at least 15 years and up to life in prison. So that makes me happy. I'm happy about that.
Whoa.
Let's go back there. Yeah. Let's see. Do we have any more this week?
I have
see.
One.
Go ahead.
Okay, so this was from Friday, I believe.
Cool.
So Meta, in court, Meta violated Washington state campaign finance law. In Seattle, a judge ruled on Friday that Facebook owner Meta reportedly and intentionally violated Washington campaign finance law and must pay penalties to Washington state attorney general's office, the attorney general's office said.
They're coming after Mark Zuckerberg. And I'm okay with that. Mark Zuckerberg, and they have tons of emails that came out this week where they, between the White House and Facebook, they had weekly meetings about what to suppress during COVID, what to suppress about election interference. The White House was telling Mark Zuckerberg and their colleagues what to censor. And they have the emails between the administration and Zuckerberg, and there's more coming because Zuckerberg came out, it was probably last week on Joe Rogan, said he had conversations with the FBI about suppressing the Hunter Biden laptop story, and he admitted it in a live interview. So there's more to come. So I know it always feels like nothing ever happens to these people, but at some point there will be a tipping point where those organizations will be shut down. Okay, the Congress has the purse. Okay, so while a lot of times it feels like, oh, why the heck should I vote? Congress has the power of the purse. They can stop funding those organizations for their behavior. And I, you know, of course, that might be one of the reasons why they're smug, okay, why they don't appear to care that there's going to be this red wave, because Republicans traditionally have gone, oh, okay, we're sorry, we won't really do anything except hold hearings and not make them pay, which I will tell you that there is a slate of what I would call MAGA Republicans running all across this country. I hope they have some balls, unlike the rhinos that we keep electing. So to that end, the 2022 midterms says straight from that they're up in arms at Mitch McConnell, speaking of rhinos. Apparently he's been, and speaking of purse strings as well, doing his – you know, Darth Vader imitation and not funding Republican candidates and because he doesn't like them. He doesn't want those MAGA candidates coming in and winning, and he's, you know, behind the scenes trying to prevent them from being elected. Midterms on edge. Nearly 6 in 10 Republican voters want Trump to run in 2024, with 54% of Democrats. Hey, Elizabeth, can you mute your phone while you're scraping, please? Oopsie. Okay. So that's Trump. That's 2024. Let's see. So it says, Tina Forte, which she is so much fun. I don't know if you guys know this, know who this lady is. Danielle, do you know who Tina Forte is?
No, I don't.
She's a foul-mouthed wench from the Bronx and Queens, and she won her primary. It says, thank you to the Bronx and Queens. New Yorkers will no longer accept high taxes, rising crime, bad schools, and infringements on our freedom. AOC has supported the same radical policies ruining New York. Enough is enough. Alert. Tina Forte wins Republican nomination for the U.S. House in New York's 14th Congressional District. Guess who she's running against in the general?
AOC.
Woohoo!
Yes.
This woman is a foul-mouthed, tell-it-like-it-is MAGA Republican. You ought to hear fucking. She talks just like a New Yorker. Every other word is an F-bomb. I don't know how well that's going to go over in a general, but she's so real. She is so authentic, fun. I can't wait to see that debate. I will bring popcorn. Okay.
Right.
Let's see.
And is she a black woman by chance?
No, she's white, but she is just so authentic, and she does live streams all the time.
So she's racist.
She's in her car.
That's all that they're gonna say. She's racist.
Oh God, of course. She gets on those live streams and she's like, "And you fucking cussing up a storm," and oh, it's fun. Anyway, so that is actually all I have today. I would love to do something like next week about that entire Pizzagate investigation that Liz Cronkin did. I hesitate to read straight from something for the entire time I'm talking, but it's so thorough and so good. Maybe we could set some time aside for it next week. What do you think? Is that something you guys would be interested in?
Sounds great. Yeah, sounds great.
I would love to do that. I know Danielle wants to do food news and health, but you know, I could do a whole good news report on Pizzagate. I was already a
absolutely
Trump supporter,
agree.
But okay, good. I was already a Trump supporter when those WikiLeaks emails dropped, but I've never prayed so hard in my life to win a political election after I saw that stuff and we started digging into Pizzagate. Danielle and I did so much work on it, and we deep dived, and the more we found, the more we cried, and the more we cried, the more pissed off we got and more angry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had flaming swords for months, right? So Trump wins, but that didn't stop us from digging and digging and digging. And the more we dug, the more we realized just how wicked and evil the people that that control the levers of power in the country are. So, okay,
what
I'll do. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
You can see that just through that bill that was passed. A few years ago, they would not have had the balls to say that they're going to make it legal for children to have anal sex. They would have said, oh, we didn't mean that. You misconstrued what we said. Now they have this unbelievable arrogance because the people in power are propagating that. They gave them full carte blanche to put a pass a bill like that. That never would have happened a few years ago.
Exactly.
Ever.
Exactly. So they had to speed up their stuff because of Trump. It was being done obviously incrementally for decades, for you know, for a very long time. But then all of a sudden they got exposed and they had to speed this stuff up, and it's kind of scary just how fast it's going. Come on, get yourself. Come on, let's go.
It is. Now, Carla,
okay.
I'm surprised
you guys
didn't
have a great week. I'm going to go out and feed the chickens, try to get them cooled down, and pray for my babies over the next week, because it's supposed to stay hot for at least another 3 or 4 days, and I hope they'll make it.
It's another week.
You got it. Go easy and lots of water and a lot of shade, and you can get through it. I'll send some prayers for you.
I appreciate
thanks.
That,
now,
you guys.
Before you leave real quick, did you hear about Ron Johnson and his whistleblowers that have come to him telling them all about the overreach from Mayor Garland? And Mayor Garland threatened his employees with a memo saying that they are no longer allowed to talk to Congress, members of Congress.
I did see that. And one of the stories that I talked about, it's the whistleblowers are in the dozens now, and it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Again, will the Republicans actually do anything about the information that they get? I don't trust them. But, yes, more – they said there are dozens of whistleblowers, and yes, I did read the story where they were threatened for coming forward.
Well, that sounds like an incredible illegal thing for this man to do. I think that they'll be in
question. Of course it is. Don't you remember during the Ukraine impeachment that whistleblowers were to be afforded every protection, and that we couldn't even name them? Remember, we weren't even allowed to know who they were when they did the second impeachment, the big deal about, you know, that whistleblowers were sacrosanct, and we weren't allowed to even know their name, and so
right.
I don't know. They don't
right.
get to have it both ways. They don't get to have it both ways.
Are we allowed to say the dude's name now? Like, let's just see. Was it Cryamella or something like that? Was that the whistleblower's name?
Cryamella, yeah. Is that how you say it? I forget. Can we?
I don't know. They tried to erase him out of history. I definitely didn't hear it spoken. And the few times I saw it written, they were taken down in moments. And that's way prior to COVID.
I wonder if you could post it on Facebook now and what would happen.
Yeah, I don't want to risk it. I already have two FBI agents assigned to my ass. I don't need any more. Chad, Steve.
Well, I posted something kind of provocative on your Twitter this morning, so I hope you still have an account. You might want to go check.
Okay. I honestly don't care, but... So good. Yeah, that's fine. I actually got myself suspended from Twitter one time just because, like, so somebody came on Facebook and was like, dude, people are getting kicked off of Twitter, suspended from Twitter for writing the word Memphis. And so I went over to Twitter and said, yeah, I just came over to this shit site to say one thing, Memphis. Boom. 24 hours in jail.
I wonder what that was about.
Yeah, I think they were just testing, honestly. Like, that way you can
probably
write, like, if you're writing a program for disinformation, right, think about it, and you want to keep certain words out of the social media world, what do? You write a program that says, write this word.
Catch this word.
Know, possibly
algorithm.
The N-word, you know? Yeah, and then you, boom, automatically get suspended. Memphis was probably their test.
Probably. Sorry for yelling.
Oh, yeah,
you sound like you're in a fight with some chickens.
There was a chicken fight. I want you guys to have a
Who's
wonderful
winning?
Week. What? this poor little, that the little one that was sick, the Americana was getting her butt kicked. Yeah, she's
Aww.
Better. But that's what they do when there's a sick one. They pick on it, and it's sad, and it's called pecking order.
Right.
So if I'm out here.
Okay.
You guys
All
have
right.
A
well,
wonderful
yeah.
Week.
Then have
well,
a good
soon.
Night. Love you, and we'll
great.
Talk to you. Well, I'll talk to you probably tomorrow, but well,
soon.
That's the rest
right.
of these people. We'll see you next week.
I love you.
Have
great
a great week, Carla. Take care. Bye bye.
Bye.
She's so cute. So cute. God, you know the AI bot thing is unbelievable. I don't know if you do you get the Mr. Biden's feed. I have him come through my feed and go into the comments, and it just is unbelievable the ass kissing that comes through. And I'm like, these are not real people. These are poor little slaves from China writing all these wonderful things about how great a leader you are. And it's like, oh my God. And I think it's there designed to, if you chime in, they've got you on their radar because now you're a dissenter. And the one thing about what Ron Johnson brought out about Mr. Garland is that he's right up there with one of Hitler's big top propaganda Stasi Gestapo leaders, that he has been, the whistleblowers are letting them know that this attack upon the parents is bigger than anybody ever knew. And it's just, it's a North Korean style. Boom, boom, we must find everyone, and we will round them up. And that really needs to be brought to the forefront. I really hope that, if anything, the lawyers, Trump's lawyers, pick up upon that and use that with part of this is the same person that went after him for no reason. And look what they're doing systemically through the whole department. It's a political it's politically driven. It's not driven by the rule of law. And to blow apart this entire administration. And, you know, using Facebook as the scapegoat for all this. No. Who were the people that came and approached and coerced Facebook and perhaps paid them? Echelon.
Right.
This,
it's clear
this administration,
that the social media companies have a direct connection to the administration, for sure.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's what's bubbling. The pot is bubbling right now. It needs to boil over. For sure. Goodness. So back to how's the Bobcat situation?
It's weird because I do think that Facebook knows they're going to get taken down by the government if they don't comply. So, you know, their hands are kind of tied.
And I really think, you know, just how they did everything. They did everything they've done government money. And it's like, how much government fake money do you have? And do these people not know that this really doesn't have any value on the markets? That our money really isn't anything other than just monopoly. We're giving you monopoly money to do our bidding. Yeah, it's incredible that every illegal, tyrannical order has been here. It's been a back room deal. I'll give you this, you do that. And that's how they've been operating.
Yep.
The corruption is
low.
Exactly.
I'm going to put on some headphones real quick because I can barely hear you. And I don't know if that's because of you or because of me, but I think I'm just going to put on some headphones.
Can you hear me better now?
A tiny bit.
How do I say?
A tiny bit.
Not much.
Well, good. I'm actually.
I wonder if it's me. Let me see.
Hello. Hello.
How about it? Unmute myself. How about that?
Oh, okay. All right. Then I was like, well, these headphones aren't really working.
There we go.
Can you hear me?
How about now? I can hear you. Do I sound better?
That's it. Yep.
Okay. I took myself off the speaker. I listened to the playback, and I'm like, boy, I don't sound very good. So, like, my connection, I got to do something different. So maybe I'll suffer with the radiation upon my ear for the last hour or so. Maybe it'll be clear. You know what the thing is? I don't think I own a pair. I'm going to have to buy some. I don't think I own a pair of decent headphones, to tell you the truth. Found out that I can operate without them, I don't think I bought any that are quality. And I'd hate to go through. I have three that are, I think are just, they're all crap. Nothing is made well anymore, which really irritates me. So
that's by design.
You know? It is. It's, mm-hmm. it's incredible. And I think the design is to keep us irritated. I can hear you. Yeah, you sound good. Yeah, I think the goal is to keep us irritated. Constant irritation because they're benefiting from our irritation. It feeds the loop. That's my theory on that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
From the way that the rat race, our little Sims game, is designed, that we live, you know, you jump in, get in your car, and you're running through these horrible expressways of irritation, and now it's almost a near-death experience because people drive like insane people, and then you get this huge backup, and you're stuck in traffic, and all that energy of irritation and fear, I'm like, you know what? They've got it nailed. They've got, here's free food right here. Just the expressway system, and just getting to and from work and where you need to be. And it kind of pisses me off. It's like, you know what? We need to pull back. And stay off of this. Let's work from home. Let's create something different and you know, have a quality life. I think that would be the way to win this game. I call it the Sims game. These days.
Okay, well, I think maybe I'll play that video now. This the Jimmy Dore with the doctor, the CNN doctor.
Oh, cool.
Okay, so here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Well, I haven't heard Jimmy Dore.
I don't know if you know who this is, if you can't see, but her name is Leanna Wen. Now, she used to be the head of Planned Parenthood, eh? And then she went on to be a really pro-COVID maniac, right? She was one of the hardest ones. She was on CNN and all the time, and she would tweet out, you know, just super, you got to be super afraid of COVID. But now she's turned around ever since. I'm going to tell you what, she's turned around, and the shit liberals hate her now.
Really?
They hate her.
Wow, you don't get any like.
They hate her because she's starting to speak truth or sense about COVID.
Even after the invasion of Ukraine cured COVID, they're still mad.
Even after the Ukraine. So she's in the Washington Post. She says, I'm a doctor. Here's why my kids won't wear masks this school year. Now, spoiler alert, she doesn't tell you the real reason until all the way at the end of this.
And they still hate her?
And they still hate her. I'm gonna jump to the real reason. Okay? I'll jump to the real reason. And masking has harmed our son's language development. That's why all of a sudden she went from crazy COVID lockdown maniac to a sensible a medical person who weighs the risks and benefits of things and has a conversation. And as soon as she did that, the lockdown COVIDian left. They turned on her. She was their favorite person. And then as soon as she started speaking sense, they hate her. In fact, they tried to get her. I'll show you. So here's what she said. So she was a maniac for COVID. She goes, for the first year of the coronavirus pandemic, my family and I were extremely cautious. I gave birth on April 2020, shortly after COVID-19 hit. To protect the baby, my husband and I pulled out our 2-year-old son out of preschool. We socialized outdoors only. At a safe distance from others, I limited indoor activities to work and grocery shopping, and I was never without my N95. So when she had a kid and her 2-year-old kid, they never saw her without her mask. After coronavirus vaccines became available to adults, I wrote that vaccinated people could relax their precautions based on their level of risk tolerance. My tolerance remained low because of my unvaccinated kids. I still avoided indoor restaurants and masked at indoor gatherings unless they required both proof of vaccination and a recent negative test. Our son restarted preschool, but we but we made sure that he was always masked. Play dates were strictly outdoors only. Given how careful we'd been, it was so then all of a sudden Omicron, she goes on to tell the story about how Omicron happened and it's a much less virulent strain and how it doesn't affect kids like everybody was worried and the risks of things are way lower. And she says, given how careful we'd been, it wasn't easy to change my mindset to accept COVID-19 as a recurring risk. But the high transmissibility of new variants meant that we would have to pay an increasingly high price if our goal was to keep avoiding the virus. I began trying to think of the coronavirus as I do of everyday risks, other everyday risks, such as falls or car accidents or drowning. Of course, I want to shield my children from injuries, and I take precautions such as using car seats and teaching them how to swim. By the same logic, I vaccinated them against the coronavirus. Wow. Wow. Based on what data? Based on what data did you do that? I would like to see the data because it doesn't.
I know eight mice who feel
I know eight mice who feel differently. So by the same logic, I vaccinated them against the coronavirus, but I won't put their childhood on hold in an effort to eliminate all risk. I accept the risk that my kids will probably contract COVID-19 this school year, just as they could contract the flu, respiratory syncytial virus, and other contagious diseases. As for most Americans, COVID in our family will almost certainly be mild. And like most Americans, we've made the decision that following precautions strict enough to prevent the highly contagious BA5 will be very challenging, meaning we're not going to do it. Masking has harmed our son's language development. When she figured that out is when everything changed for her. And limiting both kids' extracurriculars and social interactions would negatively affect their childhood and hinder my and my husband's ability to work. To be clear, my family's decision not to mask our kids should not be mislabeled as being anti-mask. We would never stigmatize other parents and caregivers for the difficult choices they must make.
Just said your kid had their language development damaged. Everyone, don't do that. Shouldn't you be saying that as a doctor?
Right. Shouldn't you be Kurt, I agree.
It's so your own choice.
This is how bad it is that she's afraid to give people a warning.
Was that the hill she wants to die on?
Right. We are also far from COVID minimizers. I've written extensively about the dangers of the coronavirus to children, and I'm clear. She certainly has.
To the point of absurdity.
And clear-eyed about the unknowns of long COVID. Rather, my approach to this school year reflects the evolution of the pandemic and the acknowledgement that avoiding COVID-19 cannot be the singular metric of people's overall health and well-being. You are going to be infected with COVID-19 most likely. If you haven't been already, you're going to be. Everyone is most likely, according to Fauci, going to get the COVID-19 virus. So everyone going around playing this game, hey, if you have comorbidities, if you have some kind of crazy asthma, or if you're 90 years old, and I get why you would wear an N95 mask, and you might be afraid of catching COVID-19, just like you would be afraid of catching anything that could hurt your respiratory system. So go ahead, Kurt. You want to say something?
What's the evolution? Like, she evolved to acknowledging that avoiding COVID-19 is not the singular metric of all.
Yes, that's what she did. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's what she did.
Well, I hope she's paying hard for it.
So now she is being currently, they're trying to get her. She was supposed to give former head of Planned Parenthood, doctor, CNN commentator. This is her opinion, and they've been trying to get – so she went against the mandates, too, at some point.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so they hate her now, and they're trying to get her – I just saw an article in Reason Magazine about how they're trying to get her kicked off a speaking panel about healthcare.
Wow, they're the only ones that'll come out the bad for you if you're getting your speaking tour taken down is Reason.
Reason.
That's the last.
That's
of
the
done.
Last of them. Come see us do stand-up comedy in Spokane, Tacoma, Virginia Beach, Richmond, Arlington, San Jose, Miami, West Palm Beach. Go to jimmydorecomedy.com for a link for all tickets and become a premium member while you're there.
So what did you think? Hello? Are you muted? Hello? Okay, so Elizabeth's having some technical issues. But I can, you know, as somebody who's been, you know, hold on, she dropped, now she's back on. Hello? Are you with us?
Yes, I am. Hello?
Oh, there you are. Okay.
Yeah.
So what did you think?
Well, I was thinking, you know, it sounded exactly like, you know, we're overreacting due to everyone has a cold. And, you know, it used to be, it was called the coronavirus was the common cold. So I Googled that. And, of course, everything is COVID. But the coronavirus, it says most people affected with the virus will experience mild to moderate respiratory illness and recover without requiring special treatment. However, some will become seriously ill and require medical. And that's exactly what the cold was. And as soon as we figured out that a coronavirus was the common cold, they changed it to this incredible COVID-19 to, you know, continue with this fear in control program that was going on. And no one's ever going to be totally not well or without sickness. And the cold, you cannot get there is no cure for the common cold. So you're always going to have the cold going around, which was the most brilliant thing in the world to put us under all this incredible medical surveillance over the common cold. And the minute everybody starts talking about how ridiculous this is and how we used to live with colds and flus is the only way we're ever going to get out of this. You can't have zero cold, you know.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you know, I guess the most frustrating thing about this person and this New York Times article that she wrote is, it's like these people knew. She did OSHA training, just like I did OSHA training. You know what I mean? She knows when to wear a mask and when to not wear a mask. She knew she could have read in all of this stuff, but she got famous basically by pushing people to be vaccinated, to be able to wear masks, because we don't know if everybody's vaccinated. You know what I mean? It's just, it's so ridiculous. And now this doctor who had access to all the same information, arguably and more, that I had access to, now she knows that they're bad for people. Now she knows. Really? Does she really, like, comprehend how many children's speech is delayed because of her medical advice?
An entire generation of children for 2 years.
My son has speech. Yeah. Like, my son has, like, a delay, you know, with his autism, speech is part of, you know, he sees a speech therapist. And when I saw a speech therapist wearing a mask, I had to say something. I'm like, what are you people doing? My son didn't have a mask on because we had an exemption for him. But a speech therapist, and I confronted them about it. I wasn't hostile or anything, but I'm like, surprised, why are you doing this? And they looked at me like I was crazy. Like, they don't know a speech therapist. That's all you do is speech therapy. How do you not know that reading lips is a part of common speech, like mimicry, right? You have to, you see people's lips move, and, you know, it's more than just hearing. It's, you know, all of these things. How do you not know? How are you looking at me like I'm crazy that, you know, I'm questioning why you're wearing a mask?
This entire program of fear has, like, robbed people of their ability to think into to reason, and it makes me wonder how old are these people? I'm sure a well-trained, schooled, and seasoned speech therapist would never thought if this is not going to work, I'm going to have to take it off. You know, how old was this person? Because it's like, it only seems to me that the younger the person was, the more susceptible they were to this program of masks work and distancing and washing the hands and listen to us, don't think. Because asymptomatic, that means you have no symptoms, you're okay. Most of us were asymptomatic. We were okay, and we still bought into this bullshit. And the ones who question.
And I've said this before, but why anybody thinks it's a good idea to wear the same masks, you know, over and over,
over
again on the stage for 8 hours, where they can, bacteria can collect and colonize in a warm, moist environment for a respiratory virus?
Exactly. And then you know, they changed it to this ever-stylish black bondage mask everyone's wearing. And that was because after wearing a mask all day long, I had some kids who, they'd leave them on the floor, and I'd be like, oh, and they're full of blood, and they're full of yuck. And it's like, oh, good Lord, you poor baby, don't wear this. Well, if you give them a black one, none of that stuff shows up. And I'm like, you people are so fucking evil. And they're all adopting black masks. And and it's just like, oh, then you don't see how yucky. Because if it stayed a nice surgical mask, it'd be like, look at this. And after a while, it'd be like, oh, God, what am I doing? You would start to think, no, let's have it be black. You'll never see any yuck on it. And everyone will be fearfully intimidating.
I read two stories recently that were of California. One was a San Diego school, and one was, I think, up in Orange County, where they're not putting on air conditioning. And kids are coming home with, like, horrible headaches and bloody noses.
Yeah.
How are they? Yeah. I mean, I'm wondering if those children are the ones that chose to wear masks.
Could be. And, you know, if everyone's starting to get okay and things are getting better, how do we make it worse? Let's not put the air conditioning on and get everyone a little bit more yucky and sick. Just let's ride it out until people actually get sick, until, you know, the flu season that they, and I love it. It's like, how do we always have a flu season? Well, because we spray it in the air. We make it, you know, nobody questions that either. But in the meantime, if you're all feeling good, ooh, we can't have that. So let's make your environment even unhealthier. Who in this day and age shuts off the damn air conditioning? And I would think, you know, California is like, to me, would be hot all the time, and you need air conditioning. That's insane. Absolutely insane. We need more people to scream at the top of their lungs, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Right,
make
exactly. And maybe it's working.
What?
Maybe it's working. Maybe people, you know, are starting to wake up when they see articles like this that about children with bloody noses and honestly, like, I think enough people are. I mean, just a couple weeks ago we found out that 2 million students are not, you know, going back to public school. There's a reason for that, you know? Maybe people are waking up.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know, I want to go back to the whole, let's be tolerant of each other, because there is that segment of society that they just cannot take those masks off. Don't be mean to them. Don't question. Let them, live. Inclusion is the big catchphrase around here. And it's like, no, what is wrong? I have this one kid who, he wears a raincoat down to his knees, a high school kid, with the hood up. And he's always putting that hood up, making sure it doesn't get off his hair, and puts that mask up. And it's like, who told you that by covering yourself, you're going to be, he's like, he's hiding from germs. And I'm like, what home does he come out of? Or did the school do this to them? And why doesn't anybody, try to talk him off a ledge? And of course I tried, but I scared him. So I'm just like, okay, honey, go sit down, because I'm just like, wow. But, there's a lot of neurosis that happened with this kid. And
shame on everybody who did that to him. And I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know how to
definitely,
you know, without being the mean guy.
Well, I try, you know, in every situation that's reasonable, I try to say something. Like I told you the story about the guy at the grocery store.
Your
that
neighbor.
Had,
oh no.
No. That was a different story. I saw a guy at a grocery store wearing one of those yellow surgical masks, and it was like it was ripped, probably about 60 to 70% up the side.
Oh Lord.
Where I could see his mouth, right? Like I see his lips moving, you know, and it was dirty. So I said to him, you know, that thing's not doing anything. It's ripped. So you know, probably it's better off just taking it off. And he's like, no.
Well,
this
I know.
Is doing
I know.
Hey, that's your opinion.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Not my opinion. This is fact. That mask is nasty.
Yeah.
And
just,
it's ripped.
The fact
so,
that it's on my chin and it's on my mouth and not on my nose. It's like, oh, good Lord, you people are something else. But they are. They have this psychosis that it does. It is. It's helping because it's on me. It doesn't matter which way it's on me, but it's on my face. And it's like, wow, it's a security blanket thing that the brainwashing got that in them, and there's no way to get through that. You cannot talk reason to them because they've already decided it's helping me. It's protecting me. And it's like, oh, my Lord.
I understand that they're trying to get us to just understand that a certain percentage of the population is just going to wear them forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I
don't know. I'm not willing to live in that
world.
Maybe
that would be a possibility. Maybe that would be a possibility if they had not completely gone, you know, burn the witches at the stake for people who were not wearing masks, right? Like, why didn't we get that kind of inclusion? Why did we get, you know, the police called on us? And, you know, like, I watched I watched a live stream of Joanne leaving Costco, paying money for her purchases, and the police tackling her to the ground.
Yeah.
And not arresting her because she never got charged, but she was removed and taken to a police station and no charges, which is illegal. You can't do that. That's kidnapping.
Right.
You know, like you
right.
can't. And I watched a live stream of police tackling her to the ground.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
she shopped somewhere
without
a mask
for
on.
Being charged with trespassing, not
how
wearing
is this
a mask,
about
but
safety and
trespassing.
Health? If a police
that's
is tackling
what they
women
did.
To the ground.
Mm-hmm.
That's about health?
I know. It's infuriating. It really is. And then to see, I saw a court case that went on here in the state. And the state said, and they won this argument, that we were simply giving a recommendation. A recommendation, just like a restaurant would, or the FDA recommends that we cook a hamburger all the way. That's what it was. And it's like, what? You had mandates that threatened to fire people and put people almost in, you know, in quarantine prisons. It wasn't a recommendation. Don't you dare try to weasel out of this. That it was a recommendation. It was painful to watch. And I do believe that they got away with that type of reasoning. And that was the end of all the mandates. All went away right after that court case. And they don't dare try to bring it back again because they admitted in court that these were just recommendations. You didn't really have to eat it cooked. You could order a rare hamburger if you want. What we recommend is you be cooked. And it's like, oh, no. That's not what happened. How dare you? How dare you try to do this? And how dare that judge go right along with that? So for them to even try to do this again, it's like, oh, what about this little court case? These are recommendations, remember? Not mandates.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fucking infuriating. It really is.
Well, and not only that, but this week, on Monday of this week, I was at the, or maybe Tuesday, I was at the Social Security office with my son and trying to get his, because he's getting his first job. We had to get a copy of his Social Security card.
Right.
And So we try to go in, and they are stopping us at the door. You know, nope, you can't come in. Try to hand me a mask. And I say, no, we have an exemption. And then they make me get out of line and helped everybody else first. Then the manager came out and said, yeah, no, this isn't a federal thing. This is a union thing. And I said, they cannot do that. They can't.
No, they can.
They can't enforce this.
And they can, because that's what keeps my little, I want to call corporation of Satan, is relying upon that, because that's well within their rights to do all these things. And it's like,
they can't.
God,
it's discrimination. It's violating a civil right. You can't do that. Just like you can't, the Social Security Office or the union can't say no black people can be in this establishment.
Right.
You also cannot say people with disabilities cannot come in.
Well,
and
until we take them to court, they're doing this.
I need to see your your doctor's note, and they need to take a copy of it and put it in the system. And I said, can I see your union contract? No. So wait a second. You are going to record my private health information, and I can't even see your contract? And then I asked for his name, and he turned around and walked, covered up his badge, turned around and walked away.
So how did that go? Did you ever get in there?
No, never got in.
Yeah.
And but I've made several complaints.
Well, I'll tell you, kudos for you for standing firm.
If I won't do it to go see a doctor, I'm certainly not going to do it for the fucking Social Security office. I'm an American citizen. I pay your salary. That's the union you need to be recognizing, is the law of the land. You're a federal building. Why do unions have more power than the federal government? All right, I'm ranting.
No, go right ahead. But, you know, it's a shame that every step of the way requires a lawyer in a lawsuit. And it's like, we've had enough of these that have gone through, and they've won. They have won. They've won. And I'm just like, the only one little glimmer of sunlight is that finally, you know, Chicago, New Jersey said, oh, we're not doing this anymore. Oh, really? Was it illegal? Is that why you backed down from this? Good. It's about time you realize this. And now, you know, the government they got away with this by giving it down, to pass the buck down to all these businesses. Businesses can do whatever they want, and we're paying them to do whatever they want, which is exactly what we want them to do. And now you have to sue each individual business, and it's just a huge hill to walk up. But step by step by step, we'll win, because you know, there hasn't not been one case that hasn't struck down so far. So that's the plus. But the drawback is that, really, does every single one of us, we have to sue all of you? Have you not learned yet? It's incredible. And the DMV, it's not the DMV, but Social Security Office is as bad as the DMV. It's just like suing the fucking government. It's unreal.
Well, ironically, the DMV better. It's recommended but not required. They know.
Ours is terrible. It's almost better to be able to, and you can do anything online so far. But to have to deal with them in person, it's like, they still had people standing out a mile long, spaced 6 feet apart. And I'm like, why are you people doing this? Why are you succumbing to standing outside like a bunch of lemmings in order to get your fucking license and taxes, whatever the fuck you people do here. It's unreal. And no one seems to be inconvenienced. And that's the problem, is not enough people feel this is an inconvenience. They've just been conditioned to, this is the way of life. And it's like, wake the fuck up. This is not, no. This is not acceptable. Not in my book, it is not acceptable to stand in line
in a mile-long line. Good Lord. And to get back to it, all over the common cold, you know? It's like, God, wake up. Wake up, darling. You're late for school.
But it is really fun to watch the Democrats cannibalize themselves, you know? Like this doctor that they're just like, nope, you're canceled now. Even though she was, you know, she's a doctor, trust doctors, right? Now all of a sudden, this doctor who has been towing the narrative the whole time, now all of a sudden is disreputable. And, you know, what? You can't do that. That's like cancel CNN, right? Like they're cannibalizing themselves. Like, did you ever think you'd hear a Democrat say cancel CNN?
Well, I missed that one. I missed that one. But I must say that the news has synced to just, it can't even be considered worthy to watch. I popped it on today to see what was happening, and I turned on Fox Business first because generally you will get the more pertinent things on that channel, I found. And the story was Meghan Markle comparing herself to Nelson Mandela. And
okay.
I was like, what? And that was, I'm like, what? There's so many other things you don't want to talk about. We're going to talk about this. And I'm like, I'm done. I am done with the news and TV. I can't do it.
Yeah, back to the basics. Go, you know, do another round of what's your favorite one so far? Your old do you do old shows or old movies?
What was it?
I said, do you do old shows or movies? Do you do like series?
I will do Turner Classics, and I like to do a little bit of the Discovery, a little History Channel, but mostly I'm doing a lot of reading, and I got the music going, I've been working so much, I'm just absolutely fucking exhausted, so just kind of like puttering around the house and stuff that I kind of don't want to have any more. I feel like I'm being assaulted with stupid shit all the time. It's just so basic. You know, even the music, like I share a ride with an older woman. I try to keep her happy, so I'll play the music she likes. And it's just like, it's canned hits from the 80s. I'm like, if I hear Let It Be one more time, I'm gonna puke. It's like, don't they have enough, any other play sections on the station? So I feel like my mind's being, like, numbed all day long. So I try to, like, keep it clear just to recharge my own battery.
Yeah.
So there's very little that I'll watch, to tell you the truth. And I actually am getting where I like to sit and think. And that's kind of a refreshing thing to do. I don't think anybody does that. Do you sit and think? Or do you always have to be entertained with something? Because I used to be like that. There always used to have to be something to entertain my mind, and now I find that it's doing the opposite. It's a detriment to my mind, so I need my mind to totally rest and to actually just listen to nature and look at the sky and just kind of like, it's amazing where your mind will go and the memories that come up and things. I'm kind of enjoying that. I'm like, you know, this is how your mind becomes alive again. And you actually can maybe stumble upon a new thought. When's the last time there was a new thought in the world? Or we're just like, you know, captivated by the news story and the whatever they want us to be upset about. But a new thought. When was the last time? I don't think anybody's had a new thought in forever. And I think it's about time that one pops into someone's thought. And I think perhaps the ether is just like screaming for, hey, can we come? Can we jump in? Is it our turn yet? Are you guys ready? No, you're still busy. They're not looking in. I think it's like we need to like do a day out in the woods with our toes in the stream and just kind of just breathe and feel the sunshine and see what happens.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
And I think
I totally
we
agree.
Might all just magically wake up out of this I think that we have been put under this occult spell because we are fascinated by things that aren't true. The war in
yeah.
Ukraine. This, you know, the things that they're not talking about, very few people are care about that are relevant. I really think that we're just, there's been a spell. A spell has been cast upon humanity.
Mm-hmm.
There's a
Agreed.
Lot of cool
I've
things
that
are going
so many
on.
Times.
Yeah, that are... okay, just at the beginning of this entire lockdown, the conjunction of the stars and the planets was the first time in like almost 400,000 years that they were aligned it together like that. And what do? They put us in this frantic fear mode of being locked, stay in the house, going to die. And we did it. And we missed this amazing astrological planetary event. And whatever happened in the sky, was anybody out there to watch it? No. You know, and I imagine, and there's probably many other things that happen. And we're trained to be inside, and we're so damn lazy. And we never look up. And we're always have to have something going on. And the something that's going on is so, it's so debased. It's so elementary. And I'm like, why do people watch this? Even like TikTok and, you know, Facebook is all crap. Everything we use for is entertainment is kind of crap. And I'm like, why do we not just turn it off because it's repugnant to our intelligence? Do we have intelligence left? Do we have intellect? Or has that been killed? And have we been just like anesthetized by this magical world of social media and television? And, you know, because it's not reality. Reality is what's outside. And we don't interact with outside so much. You do, because your job is going out to walk dogs and you're on the beach and it's beautiful. But most people, you know, like now, there's a million people in my neighborhood and they should all be outside. There's a few of them. There's a few of them that are out. But for the majority, there should be so many other people outside. It's a holiday weekend. Nobody's working tomorrow. It's people are in their houses. What are they doing? They're watching whatever crap's on TV, chances are, or they're lost in social media, or their little metaverse. I'm surprised at how many people play video games. And I'm like, wow, that certainly is something that is like a drug. Because I'm like, wow, this is amazing. I've watched it, and I'm like, I have to pull away. I'm like, I can't watch, I'm not going to watch this. This is just, to me, it's almost like it's kind of demonic. I'm like, it's not reality. But that's like, boom, that's their world. And I'm like, I can't be here. I got to go do something else. But I know for the majority of the world and the country, you know, gamers, that's a big thing. And it's like, wow, look at what they think reality is. And no wonder the vibe of this whole country is so low. And we're so easily manipulated into being so hysterically vicious against each other on matters that should make a difference, like politics.
Yeah.
And we can't, like, we can't have a rational conversation without it being a fight. You know, there are no, you know, healthy debates. There's no such thing as that anymore. It's they've really done an amazing act upon us. It's creatures. Because we do kind of like act like that. We're like so low in our thoughts. Because we should be so much more. There should have been, with all the technology, with all the amazing things and things that we could do with them, we should have hit this amazing renaissance of arts. You know, even like graphic arts. I know at one time everybody was studying graphic arts and interior design. We should be having the most amazing, you know, living spaces and amazing artwork, but instead everything's just like, it's surreal. It's surreal. It's kind of like not even aesthetically pleasing to my eye anyways. And it should like feed your soul. It should calm the brain, inspire the soul by seeing a work of art. And we don't have any of that. We have, I got a fucking magnetic beam. It's like the most coolest thing in Chicago. It's like, wow, that's, why is that there? And who thought this was cool? And now everybody thinks it's cool to go and have to see the beam, touch the beam, get your picture in front of the beam. It's like, what is wrong with you people? You know, you've got, what's the space?
I blame fluoride. Picture.
Yes. Yeah. Nobody cares about that. They care about the fucking beam. Look what they've done to us. It's like, wow.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Well,
so on that note,
yeah,
I think we need really to focus upon health, spiritual health, you know, tapping into that, whether it be a chakra or opening the pineal gland or the imagination part of your brain, that part that is that inner child that makes you happy and laugh and be inhibited. I noticed when I was at this little festival, I was uncomfortable because I hate being on my feet and I'm tired. And I was like, where is there some place for me to sit? There's no place to sit. And I wasn't like in the mood to dance, but neither was anybody else. There was a few people that kind of wanted to, and they were out there, but they wanted other people to be there dancing, and everybody was like just kind of like, you know, filming and standing. And there's kids that are in there like at a wedding, and we're just kind of like grooving and having fun. We were having fun watching those kids. And I thought, shame on us for not just, you know, getting off our lazy ass and going out there and dancing like idiots and just having fun. And it would have been, like, great, but it's kind of, are all of us that inhibited or that tired or that, have they taken away our joy that much that we can't just let loose and have some fun? And
yeah.
I got so close to going out there, but I was hot and tired and whatever. But I thought, this is what we need to do. We all need to go and play and have fun. And that's the key to unlocking all of this shit, that we're under this oppressiveness. And it is. We're under this mass oppression of gloom, doom, and with the weight of the world and the problems or whatever. We need to, like, get up, laugh, and play. And it's amazing how it just goes away. And I think that's what we need to maybe focus upon is the next best thing, is learning how to laugh again and play and ignore all this.
Yeah,
this is all bullshit. I mean, it's interesting, but it's bullshit. It really is. Because, like your mom, nothing's ever done. You know, I mean, I thought it was the most, I'm like, yes, they finally busted Garland on actually being evil. But as with everything, is anything going to happen? No, probably not. But we need to wake up.
Probably not.
And be aware of the fact that, yes, and for us to call them out, not the congressman. The congressman fucking represented us. We need to represent ourselves and call them out. And say, okay, please, just come arrest all of us because we're all terrible people because we don't believe in this government and we want you gone. Arrest us, please. Bill, do you have the – apparently – to take us to your special prisons because we're ready to go because we're not living here. I'm not going to play your game anymore.
Yeah.
And call them
calling
bluff.
Your bluff.
Exactly.
Because
like in the back of my head, in the back of my mind, there's all these, you know, do you remember back in the day there was all these videos of all these caskets in the FEMA camps and the railroads that go with all these old run-down abandoned Walmarts that they still have there. And they're like, oh, they're making them into prisons. It's like, well, maybe they did. Maybe they it's just the that's the next step. They don't care. Here, we just want to know who the dissenters are and we're taking her off there. And then remember the guillotines?
Yeah.
Remember any of this stuff? Yeah.
I do.
Maybe they've already got that all down. And it's like,
that's
yeah,
so
for
funny.
Us. Are we going to play? No, we're not going to play your game. Instead, we're just going to go out and play.
Nope.
Catch us if you can. Yeah.
Some salt.
It really is.
Well, and you know, it's kind of funny. Like, I don't really want to go into too much detail. Details will be coming soon, but it does seem that there is some accountability coming for some people in, like the Bernie movement or whatever, the ones that turned dark and started basically making life a living hell for anybody who started, who spoke truth. Well, one of their, I guess you would call it a public figure on Facebook is probably going to jail for a long, long, long time. And after years of really trying very hard to take down personally people who are making a difference in our movement, now he's in jail. And to me, that really is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Starts of the day.
Well, we'll have to talk later on. I didn't hear about this. But that's good. That's good. Very good. Because, you know, there is such a thing as karma. Karma is a real thing. And we really need to be aware of the fact that how you treat other people is how you will be treated. And there is that the universe.
I just sent something
karma.
In the group.
Okay, thank you.
I just sent something in the group chat. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's cool. But, you know, the thing that I'm really tapping into was, like, I have a real aversion, and I hate what technology has done to our kids. Because we would go out and play in the mud, you know, and
hey,
fires
hey.
And big forts. And we would never, you know, back in the day, unless even the snow, if it was freezing cold out, we'd go out and play in the snow. And I remember walking home with thinking, can I make it home? My feet are frozen. I'm too far away from home. I'm going to die. As a little kid, because we're out playing all day in the snow instead of home watching TV like we should have been. And now kids are just, that's all they're doing is playing these video games. And even my niece and nephews, I'm like, oh, they don't want to play with me anymore. They want me to play these fucking games. I'm like, oh, God, no, because it's like, you've lost your minds to the demons is how I view it as. But even though it's like, okay, I know we had things that we liked doing when I was a kid. So I'm like, okay, I'll play with you. So we're playing Mario. It's Mario's brother something or other. And it wasn't the Mario Brothers. I remember it was something different. But it was a cool driving game. And it's like on a big screen TV. And
Mario
I'm like,
Kart.
Okay, show me how to do this. And I'm like, you know, I'm so retarded. I need a button. You turn to the left and it's on, and turn it to the right and it's off, and in between is the volume. That's how I operate. If it's anything more than that, I'm like, how do you do this? I don't know how to do it. One of the reasons I don't have a microwave, other than the fact it's not good for you to use. So they have to show me how to use this thing. I'm like, okay. So get it going, and I am just like loving this. I'm having so much fun, and I couldn't, there's like no, what's the word for it? No filter. I have no filter. So I'm having fun, and I'm screaming. I'm like, wow, yeah, and I'm moving. I am moving. I'm in the seat, and I got my hands up in the air because I'm like, if I have it up there, I'm doing. My niece and nephews, they were just having more fun looking at me playing this fucking game. And the one that didn't want to play because it wasn't the game he wanted. He wasn't going to play with us. He wanted to play his game on his little iPad by himself on the couch probably. He stopped and he looked at me, and I looked, and he's like, oh, my God. He's like, I want to play. This is a lot of fun. It's just like I'm having a blast. And they don't do that when they're playing. So when they're playing, they are just like, you know, there's no interaction, and they're just quiet. And it's like, this is how you play a video game. This is how the kids from the 70s play a video game. And I think if we spent time, like, learning – or not learning, showing our kids and our grandkids – how to really have fun and experience life, I think we'll be one up on the game. Because if we can get everyone's inner child to be like rising up and having fun, beating them, because they want just the exact opposite of us. And if we're like
if you're having fun and you're laughing, your mind is open and it's learning and it's doing everything it was designed to do, as opposed to sitting with this blue screen, hypnotizing you, and you're just like a drone, right? You need to be interactive and laughing. So I think that's the key. And I was like, look at this. This is okay. This is I'm going to spend more time with them, showing them how this is how you have fun, just like this, you know. So once again,
yeah.
I became the cool aunt, you know. So now they're like, they can't wait for me to come back. They gave me, they switched me off on this little pad. So they gave me the pad that had the steering wheel, and they're like, I go, and I still had to like put it over my head and use it like I'm doing the steering wheel. Doing the whole thing. But I'm like, this is fun. It was, yeah, it was a whole new land of yes. So I walked away being so stimulated, and I felt rejuvenated. And I'm like, this is the key. And I was like, and then I get like, you know, back into the world. I was like, I don't want to talk about any of this stuff. Like, totally, it killed my whole buzz. It's like, nope. Enough
right.
of this. And it's like, playtime. That's the key. We need to learn to play and have fun and invent and be imaginative. And that's when our society is going to change, when we start becoming creative, truly creative, and happy and joy. Because it's like they took us, and you know, I want to say I don't know how they did it, but they sure fucking did it. And whether we, I don't know. I'm really think it was like a fucking occult spell was cast upon us. Sports teams happened that easily. And, you know, you add all the damn chemicals and drugs and whatnot that they inundated us with, and just add a little magic, and boom, we've got them captivated, and they'll do what we want. And it's like, no, we're going back this way, and we're doing what we want, and we're going to laugh.
Yeah.
And just like the Indians, you know, when they took the Indians off the land, stole their land, put them on the reservations, what was the one thing that they feared the most was them laughing, dancing, and beating their drums. And they outlawed that. Matter of fact, they would kill them if they caught them doing that. That was the last thing that they took from them, was their joy in their ways, their ancient ways. And it was like, why was that such a threat? You had them squirreled away in these little bitty encampments, let them do what they wanted. But that was a threat to them. And now, looking back, it's like, now that makes sense. Now I know why they did that, because they were powerful with that, just like we're powerful with that, and they don't want us to have that. So it all makes sense, as far as I can see. And
I've been,
come
I've been
upon
really
that.
Enjoying, I've been really enjoying lately playing board games with my
yeah.
children. We've got one in particular that we've been really playing a lot of. It's called Unstable Unicorns. And it's really such a cute game. It's kind of hard to explain. But anyway, it's just one of those things where it's just so fun to just, we're not staring at screens. We're playing a card game. And we've been having a lot of fun with that.
And you engage and you can talk. And that's all we did. That was the funnest stuff in the world. And they stole that quality time away from us by giving us all these other cool things. I think that's fantastic. I love it. I had the best time with my nephew. We played Battleship.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. It was great.
That's so fun.
And I love, part of playing a game is I like to be able to make up my own rules. And I love to cheat because it makes it funner. And as you cheat and you're like, wow, you're like, aha, let's see if you can cheat better than I. And that makes the game fun. That's how I've always played.
That's so funny.
My little man,
and that's actually,
he's inherited it.
And the short description of Unstable Unicorns, it talks about cheating your friends. Part of the game, cheating your friends.
Cool. Yeah. Oh my goodness. I'm sorry. I don't have the speaker thing on. We're going to hear me making a drink. Yeah, I love these 3-day weekends. I love it. This is the first time doing a show that I don't have to get up at the crack of the ass. 4:30 in the morning.
Yay.
Tomorrow. So we are
enjoying.
Yeah. We do a little bourbon and the squits. I'd like
that's
to. I want to make
many dogs in this house. Can't do this. Kind of fun.
Oh, I think that's so fun. So fun. And I can't believe that your dog has to be like a prince. My guys are horrible. If another dog comes here, I'm just embarrassed.
Yeah,
how bad
she's
they are.
So good. She's such a good girl. We really, really lucked out with her. She just puts up with it like a champ.
Is it like having friends over?
Mm-hmm. Like there's one
cool
dog that's here usually Monday through Friday, the other shepherd that's usually in my pictures. She's here and they're like sisters, right? Because they're with each other so much. There's a lot of dogs here this weekend. And actually, did you see news article about Catalina, that woman dying in Catalina?
You know, I saw that and I wanted to talk about that because I want to go into, you know, do you know how one lady was like, Catalina? I'm like, yeah, Catalina had giants on it in the 1800s. Catalina
what?
Was like, has it, yeah, there's even newspaper articles that they had a tribe of red-haired giants in the late 17, early 1800s that they found out there. And they fought them and got them off. And Ireland has a weird kind of history about it. And every time anything happens around that island, it's kind of like it's has a mystical kind of a incantation to it. And when it was like it started getting water during a fog, I'm thinking, wow, what caused, what penetrated, how did it get, what really was going on? Because it's almost like they didn't really, there's some kind of mystical thing about it. Like there might be still be underwater beings and whatnot. I don't know how much you're into all the possibilities of what type of creatures live underwater that we haven't like, like the Bigfoot thing, you know? It's kind of like they say, well, the Bigfoot has the, you know, the intellect enough to stay the fuck away from us. And that's why they've eluded us. It's the same kind of thing with, you know, we don't know what lives way the hell down in the ocean. Like the, what is that? That ledge off of the Atlantic. It goes down for fucking miles and miles and miles.
Mariana,
yes, exactly. And Catalina Island has that same kind of like, we don't really know, but we do know that there were giants there. And it was like, wow. So there's always that little spooky little thing whenever anything happens around Catalina Island. I immediately was like, wow, that's interesting.
Have you been?
And so was there anybody of any significance that was on that boat also? Because that's always my next thing is like, who was on that boat? They're trying to get rid of somebody that they didn't want to be talking about anything. Especially now, it's like, my God, everybody has something to say and you're just waiting for them to all drop like flies, like Ann Head.
Well, interestingly enough, I have, okay, so three of the dogs that are here are here because their parents are in Catalina and was actually in the same mooring as where the boat sunk, like just a couple rows away.
Hmm.
So I'm going to find out tomorrow night.
Was it out? Was it in? Was it docked or was it actually out?
It's a mooring field
Which
or whatever. They're just like balls that it's not a dock. They're like balls that float.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you tie your boat up. And it was in two harbors, so it was on the back side of the island, so on the other side of Avalon. It wasn't in Avalon proper. And actually, most of the people who go to Catalina that are of, you know, of means, they don't stay on a mooring, unless they own their mooring, which are like millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of them stay at like private beaches, like San Diego Yacht Club has their own private beach. It's called White's Landing. The Balboa Yacht Club has one and San Diego Yacht Club is called Buffalo Beach. There's actually buffalo that hang out on the beach. And there's Newport Harbor Yacht Club has its own little private whatever. So, like, if there's anything really going on, it's going to be at a place, like, away from those
mm-hmm.
like, main places.
Mm-hmm.
But still really weird. Like, we've been there. I actually got engaged on the way to Catalina. Because my husband was actually the dock master of San Diego Yacht Club for many, many years. So we got invited to their little outpost, and it's just, I don't know, maybe it's weird for like some people, but the people who are like in tune to the island, I guess that you can say are, I don't know. It doesn't feel weird to me. It feels like natural.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. I'm looking at that little thing. You sent me. I don't see a name. But for those of you that are like, oh, she's crazy talking about giants and such things, you can Google. There are old newspaper articles about such things like this. I'm pretty sure
about
they're
giants
and Catalina. On the Catalina, on the giants. Because there are on the Delavan, Lake Delavan up in Wisconsin here, there are newspaper articles from the 1800s where they found mounds of giants, burial mounds of these huge 8 to 12 feet skeletons in Wisconsin. And so it was a real thing that was popping up left and right in the 1800s, late 1700s, early 1800s. And the Smithsonian came in and grabbed all the skeletons. And matter of fact, I hear tell that they were throwing these skeletons off the decks of boats off of Catalina also to get rid of this. Yeah. So and that's in newspaper articles too. For our viewers who are like, oh, these people are crazy. We're only a little crazy because we read.
Yeah, only a little bit.
But yeah.
I'm reading up on it now, actually. This is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Let me see. So I'm sending you a little thing. Interesting. That's a shame. How big a boat was it? Was that? So this is one of those big million-dollar boats or a kind of a small one?
It was like a 50-footer, I think.
That's scary. It's one of I love to be on the boats and stuff. That is kind of my fear too. Get stuck in the ocean. For some reason, the fear of the unknown. I don't quite know what is under that water. I'm not one of those want to go swimming in the ocean type of people. I used to be. So like, I got back, the first time I went to Florida, I'm swimming and I almost died because I went so far out that I almost didn't get back in. And the waves were so big. And I'm like, oh, what have you done? I just kind of like laid and float and prayed and I get back to the shore. And I thought, oh, I'm not doing that again. But the last day I was there, big wind tide came in and there's all of these barracuda and man of wars and all kinds of stuff. And I was like, oh my God, what is that? And they told me they're out there, like 8 feet. And I was like, I'm swimming in all this. And then God knows what else, sharks and stingrays and whatnot, and I was like, I'm sticking to swimming pools for sure after that.
Now, I
love
the ocean.
It has to be a really big boat for me to be in it, or I don't feel that safe. Interesting.
Yeah.
We used to have
a 27-foot sailboat.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you, it couldn't have happened to a better person. And
yeah.
That's how karma works. Yeah, it's how karma works.
It is, though. No. I know that people don't really know what I'm talking about.
But
it's
that's okay.
Definitely.
But you know what? With time, it took a long time, but you know, hey, that's what happens. And I do know that, you know, God gives us enough chance to turn our ways around. And that's why someone told me this. They said, the meanest, nastiest people always seem to live the longest because God gives them every opportunity to turn their ways around. And I looked, I was like, that's an interesting kind of way to look at it. But, you know, when justice doesn't happen right away, there's a reason. They'll just simply, they don't want it. And then that's when the hammer comes down. And they push the button. Or what is it? Push the envelope a little bit too much. Yeah. But maybe, add, you know, whenever you're, I don't know, if it even needs to be talked about. I mean, that's up to you. But it's good. That's good.
Yeah, it's
that's
good,
good.
News,
I'm,
right?
I'm gonna,
that should have been in the
good report. We will. That was it. That should have been. Maybe someday that will be in the good news report. But, yeah, cheers to him. Cheers to you. That's great.
Yeah.
So tell me about the bobcat. What's going on with the bobcat situation?
So far, no more chickens lost.
My friend has chickens. He's lost 4 or 5 of them. He thinks it's the coyotes or a dog. I'm pretty sure we have just an unbelievable pack of condors. They're actual condors. They call them turkey vultures.
Yeah, we have hawks.
But I've seen them. There's so many of them that they've actually started perching on the telephone wires. And I'm like, oh, my God, you're ugly. I'm like, oh, my God. Now, I know why they call them turkey vultures because the red head, they look like a turkey. So sort of, but they look more like a condor, and they are absolutely huge and hideous.
You should tell them to set up a ring cam. That's how we figured out what was going on. But the thing is that everything likes to eat chicken. Everything likes to eat chicken, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
Skunks, raccoons, birds, condors, hawks,
mm-hmm.
you know, bobcats, coyotes.
Mm-hmm. I think that's why you have to have a lot. You have to have a lot to compensate for the ones that you're going to lose from the predators.
That's true. That's true.
To make it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. To make it go like that. But I'm like, dude, you need
but
to get
yeah,
a little.
So far the bobcat is not back. So.
Well, that's good.
Let's see.
That's good.
Maybe he's moved on.
Yeah. That's a good thing. Well, even your kids, I mean, you know, that's a large predator to have wandering around your neighborhood. I wouldn't feel very comfortable having the kids
yeah,
go out and play and watch the stuff, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, because
yeah.
they don't sleep during the day. They'll be, you know, they'll be wherever.
Got our 90-second mark. So,
did we make it?
You know
we
what
did
we
it again.
Do? Yeah. You know what we need to do this week, though, is we need to make a commercial, and I don't really know how to make a commercial, so maybe
well,
we all
support?
Put our heads together.
I know who we want. Let's your buddy, the Free Country, is his site. Want to support him? I'd like to support him.
Yeah,
no.
We have to make a commercial
great.
For our radio show. Our radio.
Oh, for
show.
Us. Oh,
yeah.
You know what? I'll send you a couple people have some great fonts. What they do with theirs, I'm going to send you. And maybe
mm-hmm.
we'll do something kind of like that. I think Will Markham's pretty good with that. Maybe we can.
Oh,
nice
yeah, that's a
show.
Great idea.
He would be
awesome.
Great to have
right,
on and
well,
talk about health and spirituality. Yeah. So we'll do that.
Absolutely. Great idea. Well,
idea.
Okay, so that's the end of another week. Thank you again so much for being here, and thanks to Mom. Lily should be back with
and
us
thanks
next
for having
week.
Me.
This week. Yeah.
And we'll send her out. Healing prayers of love to Lily.
Yeah.
Feel better. We miss you. And, yeah,
just
thank
you
for
audio if you can.
Wonderful.
And
wonderful conversation. Everyone hang in there. We're going to get through this with a smile on our face.
Absolutely. All right.
God,
love you all.
God wins.
Talk to you next week.
Love you too. Okay, baby. Take care. Bye-bye.